everything that's happening in sports in Saskatchewan. We've got it covered. The all-new Sports Cage. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll-free 1-866-767-0620. On your radio at 620 CKRM and online at sportscage.com.
Saskatchewan, it is draft day, and it is the Sports Cage live from the Harvard Studio 620 at Mosaic Stadium. It's Barney Shinkara, Chris Masaryk, and starting the show, the new voice of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Dave Thomas. The show on Tuesdays always brought to you by Saskatchewan Lotteries, the main fundraiser for sport, culture, and recreation groups in our great province of Saskatchewan. Fellas, draft day. It's only 3 o'clock. Things really don't get firing until about that six, so just after 6 o'clock here. And this place, word is going to be packed.
Well, what did they say? There's over 450 people confirmed for the, it's a season ticket membership or season ticket holders for the Riders here. It's a private party hosted by the new voice of the Riders, Dave Thomas. They got you working already. You haven't even had a chance to warm up yet.
No, that's right. And I even had to provide all the booze. No, I'm kidding. wrong party.
Yeah. You've been making it in your basement all winter for tonight. It's awesome. You're bringing it in laundry containers to be like, bar's over here.
Welcome, rookie.
Dave makes a nice wine. So you're hosting tonight. Do you got any material? Is it going to be just down to business?
It's going to be an opportunity to get the inside from Jeremy O'Day and Corey Mace before they go. Like, literally, it says on my agenda tonight, they have to leave at 5:45. So if they're not gone by 5:45, I don't think we're forfeiting a pick, but it's pretty substantial consequences. They got to get to the war room. So right before they
crazy Ed's in the back making the pick. the custodian.
They're calling it into TSN to be like, what? We've actually never heard this name before.
Daryl Leeson, Regina Rams. All joking aside, it is a busy show. It is a CFL draft. It is going to be draft heavy, CFL heavy today. But let's not forget tonight down the road, about 35 minutes from where we sit right now, Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, game 3 of the WHL's Eastern Conference Final goes tonight, Saskatoon Blades, Moose Jaw Warriors, total sellout. I think all the standing room tickets are kaput as well. Staying on the hockey front, SJHL tonight, game number 6 in Melfort. I like that Dave's here so we can kind of regroup and talk about this a bit too, because Dave's got his finger on the pulse of all Saskatchewan sports as well. Arash Madani in hour 2. We got to ask Arash about the Toronto Maple Leafs and what he's hearing in his inner circle.
Because if they lose tonight, it's funny, if you were writing the story of how could the Toronto Maple Leafs, like if you were writing a movie script, it'd be like, no, that sounds too crazy. You got food poisoning, you got migraine headaches, and you got someone having a temper tantrum on the bench. No one is going to believe that.
Will Ferrell? It sounds like a Will Ferrell-like movie.
It does.
Well, you know, the NFL's got bad lip-syncing. You didn't need bad lip-syncing for what was happening on the Leafs bench. It was just terrible in its own right?
And I just love how just obvious, like we talked about yesterday, how obvious it was. At least Austin Matthews was turned to the side, so you couldn't really make it out.
And I honestly, I don't know. Like, there's no way that you could keep that team together. Like, if they do end up losing, I think they end up losing. But whether that's tonight or in another couple of nights, how you could keep that together and be like, yeah, no, we're good. We're fine. It was an off year.
It'd be fantastic to see.
It was a speed bump.
Do you want Brad Treliving tearing down that roster and starting from scratch, though? Is he your guy?
No,
No,
not at all. He'd probably trade for Jonathan Huberdeau and bring him to Toronto.
I love just delusional. I love how already they're talking about John Cooper to Toronto. It's like, why?
Coop's got another year in Tampa. Why would he saddle himself with that? Exactly.
Hey, let me get this straight. No state tax. It's sunny. I can wear shorts all year round. Get to golf. Wife loves it. And you want me to go where? To the pressure cooker that is Toronto? No, thanks. Okay, so we got to ask Arash about that. Rob Vanstone is going to join us. I'm excited for a little Rob Vanstone segment. The guy's a wealth of knowledge. Obviously, he's employed with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders now, but he's at the vet right now. I really got to get what's going on with his dog. It was an important day to go to the vet. Big dog guy.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Oh,
well, I would love to be like, just throw out a year, 1987, and he could probably rattle off round 1, 2, 3. And the other thing, speaking of that, Did you know that Suter got drafted 40 years ago this
year? You said that this morning.
I know. I was doing that. I was doing a little research. I was like, Suits, 40-year anniversary of getting drafted out of Simon Fraser University.
I got some actually funny things to ask him about that to see how good the old memory is. Yeah, and hopefully we have some more, you know, someone from the Riders join us as well. We're going to kind of keep everything a little fluid. And Kyle McIntyre, hopefully the commissioner of the SJHL, as he makes his way into Melfort for that game this evening, is going to join us. So a busy show, obviously draft heavy. We're going to try and keep you interested out there, Sports Cage listeners.
So a lot of people yesterday from our Darian Durant interview, and if you missed it, you can check it out. It's on Spotify and it's on Apple, the podcast. And so Darian, he thinks we're fine offensive linemen. Instead of just taking the token offensive lineman in the draft, he said, for the Riders, their biggest need to be successful in 24, he wants defense, and he wants guys that can come in right away and make a major impact. And when we're going through the top 25 of potential players in the draft, like the first six or seven, they've all been touched by the NFL on the weekend. Yeah. It's like, who can you actually get to that could actually come in and, first of all, be on the training camp, let alone make the team here in about 3 weeks? Because a lot of the guys got picked over.
Well, okay, let me throw this one out at you. And there's going to be some guys that are listening right now, but I would throw out that the Canadian Football League draft is the hardest draft ever. And like I say, there's guys in my hockey pool that are saying I make the other one look harder. But the CFL draft, think of everything you have to consider. Okay, number one, there's talent, right? So obviously that's the one thing you want to draft is talent. But then number two, what does it fill for your need? What are your needs? You talked about the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Are they going to go with four Canadian offensive linemen this year? If they are, you can't just go with four Canadian offensive linemen. You got to have six.
Yeah.
So there's a need. If not, what are you thinking on the other side of the ball, right? Are you going to take the defensive line? Or are you going to start that extra Canadian at wide receiver, right? So those are all the considerations with the ratio. So that's consideration number two. Number three, and Jeremy O'Day, he mentioned this yesterday. Canadian Football League players don't get paid a lot. So right now you're seeing a lot of guys that are retiring because they found some fantastic jobs. Life goes on. You're setting yourself up for life, right? This is a personal thing.
Sean Lemon joke here. He's found revenue streams another way.
That's right. Exactly, right? For sure.
But legal.
Completely legal. Absolutely, right? So, okay, so there's that consideration, right? You've got to find guys that are definitely in it for the long haul. Every team has drafted someone that graduated from university and all of a sudden, hey, look, I've got an engineering degree and I've got this opportunity. I can't turn it down. And then last but certainly not least is the whole regional aspect of it. Right? I'm from Saskatchewan. I want to come back and play in Saskatchewan, so I'm probably not going to get drafted by the Montreal Alouettes, who aren't going to take a flyer on me, knowing that I'm a prairie kid, I'm a prairie boy. I want to be a Saskatchewan Rough Rider. It works the other way, too. Remember Andy Fantuz went to Hamilton, right? Because, hey, this is home. This is where I want to be. So there are so many more considerations than just who's got talent and what are my immediate needs.
Do you know, is it a lot like, you know, the NHL draft and you hear and they get interviewed by teams, a number of teams. These teams do their homework on these guys. Is there a lot of homework done here or are they taking a flyer on a lot of guys?
Oh, no. Tons of homework.
Yeah, because at the combine, if you get invited to the combine, you get interviewed. But there's a plenty of guys that may end up getting drafted that maybe didn't even get a combine invite for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. What I was getting at there is, to Dave's point, is if let's say you are Jimmy from McGill and you get interviewed by the Riders, if you really want to stick around home, maybe you have a, you know, a Feminina, whatever, you want to stay there, then you blow that interview with the Riders.
Absolutely. And probably you outright tell them, I'm sorry, I'm not coming. Like, how did Cameron Judge in 2017 fall to number two in the draft? Now, we're happy in Saskatchewan that he did, but obviously there was the NFL opportunities that were in front of him, but also the fact that he might have said, I'm sorry, I'm not going out east. That's what he could have done. And this year, more than perhaps ever before, there are at least 15 guys that would have been on CFL teams' draft boards heading into tonight that are going to explore NFL opportunities, whether that's Theo Benedet, who is actually going to go ahead for a workout. You got Giovanni Manu, who was drafted in the fourth round. You've got other guys that have shown well and now are signing these deals where they're getting $20,000 signing bonuses.
I was just going to say, some guys have cash in their jeans.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, and it's funny, and I know everybody jokes, in this economy, if someone offers you that amount of money, even if you're trading camp fodder, you take that money because That could be life-changing money. That could be everything for you and your family. And all of these guys, if it doesn't work down there, somebody will invite them up here to be like, finally, thank you. Here's your plane ticket. We'll see you in a couple days. Can't wait to have you here.
See, and what I thought was interesting, and again, you talk to various people around the league, right? So maybe you blow the interview like Barney said, right? And so, okay, if it's the NHL or if it's something else, maybe I'm going to drop down a spot or something. That doesn't cost you a spot in the Canadian Football League. That can spot cost you a round or two or three. Like, let's face it, there's only 72 players' names who are going to be called tonight. And so there are so many things that have to go into choosing wisely. And last year, you got to give credit to the Saskatchewan Roughriders. They hit it out of the park. They had four guys drafted in the first four rounds, and all four ended up on the roster at the end of the year, which to me is the best success you can get.
That's the win.
That's the win, right? Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a home run in the CFL draft.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely.
Like, you know, before you'd be like, well, you know, because normally by the third round, maybe you take a flyer on a guy that you hope may someday, if he ever shakes free from the NFL or whatever he decides to do. So many unknowns. They had the global draft earlier today, and the Riders drafted third. So number one overall to the Edmonton Elk was Ateva Maga Clements. He's a linebacker out of Nebraska. He's from American Samoa. So, you know, as far as people like, okay, so think of the Hawaiian football.
Yep.
So, you know, Matt Hayball from the Ottawa Redblacks. He's a punter, Vanderbilt, another Australian punter.
Yeah.
You can never have enough Australian punters. Then the Riders draft three out of USC. He's from Samoa, a D lineman, Tyrone Taleni, which to me, and then you watch him, you're like, he's probably going to get a look in the NFL, but he wasn't one of these high. If it is, it's a free agent type situation.
Absolutely.
So there's a chance that nothing. Hey, if he makes it, great. But usually in a free agent situation and with D-line, that's something. They're bringing in 16 to 20 guys for training camp. Mm. You may just be a number for a while unless you really knock it out of the park. So you may end up here.
Well,
and I think it's great.
How does the saying go, right? It's not what you know, it's who you know, right? So with that pick for the Riders, Corey Mace has got a relationship with the USC coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets tipped off on this, hey, you know what? This guy actually isn't going to be an American. He'll be one of your global players that you can draft. So he gets tipped off on this. He's already had conversations with him. The Riders have hedged their bets on this guy. You can see it on social media. Corey Mace walking into the training room downstairs, talking to this guy on the phone saying, hey, we can't wait. We're going to make the arrangements. We'll have you in camp in a week.
That's awesome.
Talk to you then. That means you've done your homework, you just nailed one out of the ballpark, and you found a guy that you think can come and shore up your defensive line.
And this guy didn't play some, you know, Div 3 whatever ball. Like, you got to think about, this guy's practiced against solid players playing for the Trojans.
I don't care what you say about Cliff Kingsbury. It's Cliff Kingsbury. No, it's not. Who are we talking?
It's
Peyton. No. Why is it? I love. It's on the tip of my tongue. Coaching USC. Why can't I? Lincoln Riley.
Thank you, Riley.
I don't care what you say about Lincoln Riley or whatever. Lincoln Riley, for wherever he's ended up, and it doesn't always necessarily turned out well. USC was a good football team. That's a good program.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a good program all the way around. And yeah, getting to practice against top tier talent who had how many draft picks in the NFL over the past weekend?
And they're treated like a pro team there.
Oh,
right.
Oh.
Like that was Los Angeles's pro football team for a long time. Yeah. So
I know you watch any Matt Leinart clip from any podcast, and he talks about his life as a USC Trojan. He's in music videos.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to any club. He's hanging out with like Leonardo DiCaprio and celebrities. He was one of the biggest athletes in that city, and it's just a guy in college. He was 20 years old.
There was no NIL. Sure there wasn't.
Well, did you hear that story last week? Johnny Manziel told it. His dad did this on his own. He didn't know about it till later, where he had went to the school. He went to Texas A&M and said, listen, for $3 million, Johnny will stay for two more years. He didn't find this out till years later, and they said yes. Because he said there's always a bag man. There's a guy at every school, Alabama. He said every school there's a bag man. And like they didn't go for it because Johnny ended up leaving. But could you imagine USC at the time?
That's and what the chicken feed.
I know what the bag man would have been doing back then. Yeah. Like in the Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush era.
Yeah.
Like besides the cars and the condos and the houses.
1.5 mil a year, we got that in the trunk.
Yeah.
We can make that happen.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, but that's I think that's a great pick. The punter that they also took from Australia.
Yeah.
I asked you. I'm like, did they need to? And you said, you can never have enough Australian punters. We're going to get a t-shirt made, actually.
So here's the thing, because Darian mentioned it yesterday. The Hufnagel tree is more right than it ever has been wrong in the past 20 years.
Yeah.
And what Huff does is he brings in guys, and once they reach a certain salary level, he has that next replacement, just like Wally used to, and then you start fresh again. And if that's the play here, to be like, okay, you get to a certain point, we've got somebody in similar talent and skill, but we can have them at this salary as opposed to this salary. It's all a game, and they're always playing the long game. And the Stamps have done a great job of that, always making everybody else's soon-to-be free agents. So that doesn't surprise me.
You gonna stick around, Dave? You got nowhere to go.
No, I'm
right?
good.
Yeah. You bought a house today. Things are exciting in your world. Maybe
right.
Put an offer
hold on,
in the house.
Hold on.
New voice of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders has a pad.
In this economy with these interest rates? Wow.
Easy.
Wow.
Yes. It is the all-new Sports Cage. We are live for the CFL draft at Harvard Studio 620 at Mosaic Stadium. When we come back, we're going to get into the Western Hockey League and game number 3 tonight in Moose Jaw on the home of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, 620 CKRM.
The all-new Sports Cage is brought to you by Sherwood Co-op. From locally grown fresh produce, condiments, and Western Canadian beef, your barbecue tastes better when you shop at Sherwood Co-op food stores. The all-new Sports Cage. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll free 1-866-767-0620. 620 CKRM.
Welcome back to the Sports Cage, Saskatchewan, live from Mosaic Stadium as we get ready for the CFL draft in a few hours. It's Barney Shinkaruk, Maz McFly, and the new voice of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Dave Thomas. We're going to shift gears here from the CFL and from the draft. We're going to go out on the Western Pizza Hotline, Western Canadian ingredients. Ample amount of ingredients. Always a great night for Western Pizza. Look one of them up tonight if you're taking in the NHL hockey, or maybe you're going to be watching the CFL draft. John Keane in Kelowna, British Columbia. Kelowna. Kamloops, British Columbia. And Keener, I always start it with asking what the weather was like there today.
Well, the interview's off to a rough start with the Kelowna drop already. You know that. No. You know where that stands.
Sorry.
Here.
It's just down the road. So.
What's the weather like?
Oh, Lake Maple Creek. You know, it's all the same.
What do we got here today? It's partly cloudy and probably it's a little chilly today. It's probably only about 16 or 17.
Okay, before we get to Moose Jaw and Saskatoon, let's give the people an update with what's going on out west. So, man, this series, it's not overtime tightness. Like last night, again, Portland 4-1 over Prince George. What's your take on what's going on in the West? Is it going as you expected?
Yeah, I think it is. I think for Portland to go up north to Prince George, and let's keep in mind, there's 15 hours between these two destinations here. So for Portland to go up north and get a split to head back home, and remember, this series is a 2-3-2 format, so there's a chance the series doesn't get back up north to Prince George, which is pretty crazy when that's the number one seed. But Portland last night did what Portland does. You know, all respect to Saskatoon and Moose Jaw, but when Portland winds it up, there isn't a team that can keep up with them offensively in the league. So they did that out of the gates, 10 minutes in, they're up 3-0, and then really coasted from there and picked up a big victory. That's a tough place to play in. Like, they do some odd things on home ice. They play a style that is as unique to any team in the WHL. Then they have their rabid fans. I mean, their fans in Portland are quite crazy. They're a momentum type of a team, and Portland was able to pick up the win, and now they'll reset and get set for what is a massive game four for Prince George here tomorrow night.
When did they decide that 2-3-2 format? Was that always in play, or did they decide that just before these guys fired?
Yeah, there were certain matchups in the West that would be 2-3-2 before the playoffs. Prince George already had one with Spokane in round one. That was 2-3-2, and this one, I believe, was set in stone just based on, you know, the kilometers or the miles between the two teams. So it wasn't a surprise to anybody, I guess you could say.
Hey, John, it's Mass here. Wow, the Prince George Cougars drawing the short end of the stick for world's longest bus rides and awful stops at customs as they're trying to get across the border. That really has got to take a toll out of you. Like, when you look at some of the short trips and you look at this, that's grueling for the teams that are involved. And that's the kind of stuff that I don't know that if they make it to whoever comes through into the Western Hockey League final, I got to say that's an advantage to them, because those hours together, not that they all haven't traveled a long time, but that kind of stuff can kind of be the difference at times, because I think, hey, we've come this far. What's stopping us now? Because now you're going to fly.
Or that guy that you kind of hate, you really hate.
Yeah.
After all those bus rides. It'd be like Moose Jaw, Regina, Swifty, driving to Denver to play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
It's crazy, right? It's a terrible trip.
And how easy would it be if you get down to be like, if we pack it in, we don't got to get back on the bus, we don't got that long ride, it can just be done. But they'll be like, no, I want the 15 hours. I want that.
The bagged lunch.
Well, Prince George knows they have to go home anyways, right? So either they're going home anyways, whether they have to play the next night or not is the other story here. I try to what Portland's doing. It came out last night that Portland's actually taking two buses. They take two buses, they split their staff and their players on the two buses to give everybody more room and more chance to lay out. So credit for them. They've thrown the pocketbook out the bus window here for this trip.
See, I don't mind that play. That's a kinky little play, right? Because you can't fly, because that's a competitive advantage, especially for the rich teams. But the two bus rule, I wonder if they'll ever go to that.
But PG back in the day, remember they had their bus retrofitted with beds?
Yeah.
Like, do they still do that, Keener?
Oh yeah, they have a great travel bus in Prince George, one of the best, because you know they're 7 hours or 6 hours away from their closest competitor in the West. So, I mean, they're on an island up there, for lack of a better term. So yeah, they handle their travel pretty well up there.
Have you been watching much of what's going on Moose Jaw Saskatoon? Did you take in the first two games on the old stream?
Yeah, I saw most of it. I was impressed that Moose Jaw was a goal away from going up 2-0 in that series and heading back to home ice. And, you know, they probably should have. You know, if you look at that tying goal that forced the game into overtime in game two, it was off a Warrior stick. Like, they're trying to block that shot, and they redirected it over Unger's shoulder with a minute to play. And that's a killer. And, you know, Saskatoon finds a way to win that game. So that's a great series. Like, we said all along that the rubber hits the road, literally, in the Final Four here. And really, it was just wasting time to almost get down to these four teams. And now we're seeing it for sure.
Voice of the Kamloops Blazers joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline, John Keeney, also has the WHL radio show.
Now, John, when you're looking at Moose Jaw Saskatoon, right, you got the high-octane Warrior offense, and you got the Blades who can play stingy defense. Don't they say that defense always wins in the playoffs? Isn't that why Saskatoon is favored in this, or am I wrong?
Well, I mean, you could say that, but I think Moose Jaw is the best player in the series, and he's a defenseman, Denton Matejchuk. And not only is he, like, he's a dude, if you know what I mean, like, he's a man's man kind of a guy. He's somehow leading the Warriors in playoff scoring, and that's hard to do, to be at both ends of the rink. Like, you know, he's, you know, 19 going on 39. He looks like that grizzled vet that you add, you know, at a trade deadline, you know, Chris Tanev coming on board or something like that. But you're right, you know, Saskatoon has a lot of depth, but no doubt that Matejchuk's, he's a player. And
there's going to be half of our audience. Sorry, go ahead, John. Go ahead. I was going to say, there's going to be half of our audience that don't understand an Esa-Tikkanen reference, but the Blades went all Esa-Tikkanen on Matejchuk in game number two. They had somebody mirroring a defenseman throughout the course of the game.
Really?
Who does that?
No way. Dave, that is some good work here. Like, I've never heard of that. I mean, yeah, the Esa-Tikkanen reference, I hope your listeners know what that is. But yeah, that's something that I've never heard before. But, I mean, there's other worries there, Moosejaw, that I'd be worried about, like Matthew Savoy or Jagger Ferk. Who I think are the two most electrifying guys up front for both teams. So it's going to be great. Moosejaw, what they call it, the hangar now. I think they're expecting a sold-out crowd. It should be a lot of fun tonight.
You just mentioned his name, Jagger Ferkus, who hasn't really gone off yet. Here's the thing that if you're a Blades fan, I worry about. Place is going to be crazy. If the Warriors get up a couple of goals, mm-hmm. through, it's over. There's nowhere they're coming back because Moosejaw has the ability to score. And the Blades have had to earn kind of almost every goal that they've scored, where if the Warriors, especially at home, and they get on a roll, I think it's going to be a tough time. It's going to be tough sledding for them to come back from that.
Okay, but, here's my take. Blades maybe blow them out tonight.
Oh, no.
Well, keep in mind, the Blades are going to want to play physical, right, against the speedy Warrior forwards, who they've got so much skill and talent, it's incredible. But Easton Armstrong is back into the lineup for the Blades after a four-game suspension for running over the Red Deer goaltender in game number two. So one of the top power forwards in junior hockey is back in the Blades lineup to bring in a physical element that they haven't had in the last four games.
Yeah, he's a horse. Like, Easton Armstrong's a load. But when it comes to physicality, like, you see it out there more than I do, you know, in person, but I would have to say, like, I like Moosejaw a little bit more in that regard. Like, Saskatoon is a small group of skilled forwards, you know, Trevor Wong, Lazowski, I mean, Igor Sadorov's had a great playoffs, but, you know, he's not your power forward type. Easton Armstrong is for sure. Fraser Minton, know him well. You know, he's not that physical forward. He's that brain, you know, that brainy, smart, every situation, take 30 face-offs per game guy. But I think it's a great series. You mentioned the blowout. Remember, Swift went in there in game one and put up nine in round two. So it's possible.
Well, I'm just grasping at straws for a take, because it was for a while there, my Dallas Stars thing was looking like hot garbage until last night. They never should have won. Yeah. Okay. Quickly, what do you think of the NHL playoffs, Keener? If we were in a pool again this year, like our old Swift Current days, where would you be? Who did you take?
Oh, it'd be Mike Modano first overall, wouldn't it be, or something like that? Joe knew that.
Got to change that to Logan Stankoven now. You got to update. Yeah, we got to update our stars here.
That's right. That's right. I kind of went against the grain of the Blazer franchise here. You know, when Vegas went up 2-0 in that series, I was like, "Who's beating Vegas? No one's beating Vegas. Like, this might be the best team of all of them they've put together now that they have everybody back and they're, what, $7 million over the cap or whatever it is. But Dallas to go in there and win back-to-back in Vegas, you know, that's huge. But, you know, like, I still think Vegas probably somehow emerges and you know, Florida looks really, really good in the East. So, you know, we don't see Florida a lot. Like, I don't know about you, but Florida's not on my TV screen any night of the week. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how that plays out.
It was just Maz the other day that was just like, they got like Oliver Ekman Larson, and they like, there's just guys there that you don't even remember that they have.
Somebody made an observation the other day after the Rangers got rid of the Caps and four. Oh, the Wings would have put up a better fight again. I don't think so. I think the Rangers would have.
That was me that said that.
I think the Rangers still would have rolled. But somebody had said, and somebody, this was on the text line earlier today, John. Somebody said, normally the first round of the playoffs is the best round of hockey you could watch all year. And there's four series that all could end tonight. And not that there's been bad hockey, but it just hasn't been the same, and if they all do end, I mean, the one we all want to see, because then the circus starts, and then the internet will be on fire until the Dallas Cowboys open training camp. That'll be the Toronto Maple Leafs, which is going to be awesome. But yeah, when's the last time four series could be ending as we go into game five all on one night in the first round of the playoffs? I was trying to remember back. I don't think there's been a scenario like this in a long time.
No, because the parity is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Right? So there is a lot of long series. But, okay, Before we let you go, just a little tidbit. I just looked on StubHub. $42 each to get in. There's a couple of tickets on StubHub for tonight in Moose Jaw, if anyone is interested. And good job on the Esa Tiikkanen references, boys, because Esa Tiikkanen is a former Regina Pat Blue and a former Regina Pat.
Absolutely.
For all you out there that didn't know that.
Did he wear a Jofa then, though, too, or no?
I would have to go and ask some fellers about that question. But Keener, always a blast. You know, you're still doing the podcast and all that stuff, too?
Well, we put that on hiatus. There's a thing called the off-season in golf, and we get a little bit more wrapped up in that. So, you know, that's on hiatus. But before you let me off, I just want to congratulate Dave Thomas on an awesome riders gig. I think if you grow up in Saskatchewan like I did, that's coveted as the best sports job, I think, in all of the province. And to call games for, you know, your home province and be part of that, I mean, that's incredible. So congratulations to you, David. I wish you a great postseason here ahead.
Thanks so much, John. Appreciate that.
Yeah. John. Oh, you know what? The time you picked me up, the time you picked me up in Gull Lake when I was stranded, I thought that was a classy move, but that I think that just topped it.
Yeah, and you called him by the wrong name before you gave him a great compliment.
That's right, What?
You said Jay.
I said John.
After you said Jay.
No. John, have a good one. Go Stars. Always a pleasure, my man. I think Alan actually cut him off already. Unless he's just dumbfounded. But he's trying to figure out the Gull. When he picked me up in Gull Lake, the one that he did. I was stranded in Gull Lake. And we were in Swift Current. And I'm like, no cell phones. Just trying to call anybody. He was at the radio station. he drove out and picked me up. I'm like, dude, I'm like standing in downtown Gull Lake. Downtown, Main Street. Always a pleasure. So big game tonight. Moose Jaw, $42. I just looked on StubHub. I don't think they're releasing any tickets. So if you don't have a ticket, it's going to be tough to get in.
I wonder if that's a StubHub record for like a WHL game in Moose Jaw, $42.
That's a good question.
You know, because it's over ask. You know.
Yeah.
You know, like it's probably there's a scale of economy. Like, you know, if it was Vegas and it was Golden Knight game, as opposed to like, what if that is a
translate
you
know, it to
yeah, translate yeah, yeah. that to Moose Jaw math.
True.
And then you know, there we go.
It's gonna be exciting. I can't wait. I'm going tonight, so I'll get boots on the ground, get my eyeballs on it, and I'm gonna go with my hot take that the Blades maybe beat them by two or three tonight. I know. Oof. I know. Yeah. Interesting. It's the all-new Sports Cage, Bad Takes and All, live from Mosaic Stadium as we get ready for the CFL draft on the home of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, 620 CKRM.
Back to the all-new Sports Cage. Text 306-936-6262. 620 CKRM.
We're at Studio 620. We're getting ready for the Rider Draft Party. It's the all-new Sports Cage live. It's Maz, Barney, and Dave Thomas here. We're going to chat with Luke Mullinder in just a sec, get his thoughts on the upcoming CFL Draft, which will kick off just after 6. It's a big week for the Cage, so today we're here, and then Thursday we're actually going to be in Wilcox at Notre Dame. It's a Hounds Day thing. We're raising money for the Hounds Fund. It's the 7th annual. The goal is $125,000, and we've got some special guests lined up for Thursday, including Stanley Cup champion Jaden Schwartz, Seattle Kraken, Gary Lehman's going to be on with us, Wendell Clark, and Barry Trotz from the Nashville Predators. And depending on what happens in the next game between Nashville and Vancouver, Trotzy could be in a great mood.
Trotzy's an amazing.
I know.
Talked to him 3 or 4 times in my life. It seems like he he's really proud of the alumni thing.
Yes.
Notre Dame. So I think he'll be fine.
But you had said yesterday after the game was over.
Can we get John Cooper?
And I asked that today when I was talking with Dave and Scott at Notre Dame. Is there any
aggressive
chance we can get John Cooper? And they had said that him and Trotzy are super close friends. And they would, but obviously, I would love to know. Because like Coop said last night in the post-game press conference, when they were talking about Steven Stamkos, he goes, I hope that he is a Bolt for life. He goes, but that's up to him and Julian. He just said, but we're not done. Like everyone is like, oh, that's it.
Yeah.
Tampa's over. The run's over. And they're done. And he said, no, I don't think so. And if there's anybody that's smart enough to retool on the fly and put a team back together, if we had to bet, I would be putting my money on John Cooper, that he's the guy to do it. with whatever pieces Julien Brisbois gets him for next year.
And I also put my faith in the Florida weather, and again, the no state tax for half your games. And your wife probably wants to live there if you're married.
Yeah, if you're Steven Stamkos, and you know, maybe he...
What, is he going to end up in Calgary?
No. Like, and why would you want to go change? Like, maybe this is one of those where you wind it down, but he thinks, no, I'm still worth this. I want to go play here. Somebody said Vegas?
He doesn't seem like that kind of guy.
Because Vegas seems to sign everybody. Be like, Vegas?
Yeah.
Does he have a bad knee or anything? Like, that they could put him on LTIR for? Like, I don't know.
Hey, as long as it's legal.
Right? I'm not saying it's not.
Rubbing is racing, and if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Speaking of cheating and trying, Luke Mullender on the Western Pizza guest hotline, CFL draft tonight. Luke, if you had to project yourself in 2024, what round, if you were up for the, where would you take a young Luke Mullender in the draft? Are you a first rounder, third? Are you an eighth? You're not an eighth round guy. Like, you're like solid in one, early two.
I went fourth round, 32nd overall. I thought I was a heck of a deal for Saskatchewan, but I got to be honest. You see some of the guys these days. Canadian ball's come so far. You look at some of the tape on these guys, but more importantly, you look at where these guys are coming from, and then you look at my era. It's just two different games, and I think that I might be taken, but there are some tremendous athletes in this draft, and I don't know. The game's just changed so much. I'm not one of those. I'm a realist, right? Like, there's guys who, oh, yeah, I dominated this era, blah, blah, blah. Like, look, it's a total different game, and you can just tell. I mean, look at this is the first time, I think, that since I've been covering the draft, where if you look at the top five, there's two Canadian tight ends, right? And
yeah,
there's also in the top five, I doubt they're even going to be in Canada anytime soon, right? So the game's changed so much. I think I'd get taken in some of the late rounds. But again, it doesn't matter where you start. It matters where you finish. And I think that regardless of where you're selected, in the Canadian draft especially, you've always got a shot to turn yourself into a heck of a pro. And I think that that's the biggest part. The Canadian draft is all about how organizations can develop the guys. Because I'll tell you, if you ask me my top three guys, and then you look at like where they're projected to go on the random media sites, I mean, they're projected to go anywhere from number one to number 20. So, and again, some of that is because of just the ceiling some of these other athletes have if you can get them coached up.
2004 was your draft year, Luke?
Yep.
2004, yeah.
Okay, what do you remember about that day? Were you paying close attention to it? Were you watching it? What do you remember about a top song back then in April of 2004 was Usher, Little John, and Ludacris? Yeah, so you're probably listening to that with your fellas in the gym, but what do you remember about that day?
No, I was in the computer lab, and I was doing a homework assignment for my internship, and I had my phone on. I had one of those. It was still in the flip phone days, and my favorite thing to do on my flip phone was this digital bowling game. But I was trying to do some homework, and the agent at the time, the guy who was helping me out, was a guy named by the name of Terrence. He went to University of Northwestern. He gave me a call and gave me the news, and I've told this story plenty of times on air, but one of the reasons why I felt like I should, there's two reasons why I wanted to get an agent. Well, first reason, I felt I didn't have the type of film, but I also didn't want to, you know, put kind of film, like, I just felt like my name wasn't going to be as known as some of the other guys. I was coming out that same draft year as a guy like Naughton McKay, Lauscher, Alain Keshama, guys I had played high school ball with. So you know, he had helped me with just some idea creation, like actually going to the CFL combine that was in Ottawa that year. That was his idea, and just said, hey, I mean, if you do well there, you're going to get picked. So I went up there and I did well and I got picked. But the other reason why I got him was because I didn't want to end up in Saskatchewan or Winnipeg.
Duh.
And you know, my opinions changed drastically now, but when he gave me the call, it was the first question I asked him. I said, hey, you know, where did I get picked? And he just sort of skirted the whole question. He's like, oh man, and the listeners know this, but oh man, they're really excited to have you down. They think that you can provide depth right away, but they think you, And I'm like, oh, nice, cool, man. Okay, which team? And you know what? You'll love the GM. The GM is your type of. And I'm like, dude, just tell me where I got picked. And then he skirted the question again, and I realized it. And then I'm like, this guy got me drafted in Saskatchewan and Winnipeg, didn't he? But I was still an Ontario kid at that time, right? I wanted to. I kind of had my doubts about even playing CFL football. I didn't think I was even going to turn up to camp. So if I had that option, I wanted it to be in Toronto, so I could make it easy for myself. If I just didn't want to go, I'd be home anyway. But hey, I'm so fortunate. I'm so blessed, and I'm so glad I came to Saskatchewan. I grew up. I became a man in Saskatchewan, and it wasn't because of football. It was because of the opportunities that football created.
Your flip phone service would have been dicey in 2004 in Saskatchewan, too, because our cell coverage wasn't that great.
No, and it was still in the texting days where texting was expensive, so my first bill was like $600. And I'm like, well, yeah. And I wanted to keep the 517 number because I always planned on going back to Michigan. So, yeah.
Hey, we all did it. Remember that? Hey, I'll call you after 6 or I'll call you after 8 when my calls are free. Remember, you wouldn't call your friends in the daytime until the calls. I like them, but you're not cell phone minute worthy.
No.
Well, like, I mean, that's a Seinfeld bit.
I mean, fellas, yeah, that's all well and good. But, I mean, the best part of our era was the ringtones. I mean, I had 53 in the club, and if you called me and I was in a lecture, I'll calm down and I paid 50 cents for this, boys. You're gonna hear it. Sorry.
A baller.
Luke, I want to go back full circle on a couple of comments that you made when it comes to the draft, because if you're a CFL executive, do you have to be a little bit of a riverboat gambler? Because you mentioned two things. Number one, you talked about the development that you're putting into your draft picks. Obviously, it takes time and money to develop players. And number two, you said, you know what, I didn't even want to go. So how much of an educated guess or are you gambling when it comes to making a pick in the draft tonight?
It's less of a gamble. And the reason why it's less of a gamble is because when I talked about this last week when I was on the show, these days, the NFL draft is before the CFL draft. So all of the guys that you were going to gamble on, like, for instance, Isaiah Adams, Theo Johnson, Kyle Hergel, Tanner McLaughlin, all those guys, Theo Benaday, Manu from UBC, those guys that before, if the CFL draft was before, you'd have to do the math, right? Like, how long is this? Now, right now, Jeremy O'Day knows which guys are probably going to stick. For instance, Isaiah Thomas, he's not coming back to the CFL anytime soon, if at all. I mean, you're picked up in the third round of the NFL draft. You're a guy who's going to be on the team right away, and they're expecting something from you. Same with Giovanni Manu. This guy was drafted in the fourth round. If I'm Jeremy O'Day, he's off the list, right? Just because I want somebody who's eventually going to come. For instance, Theo Benaday is a little bit different. He has an undrafted free agent deal with the Bears. I think he's got a real chance to stick, but there's also that problem, the likelihood or slight likelihood of him maybe coming back in 2 years or so, right? So the Riders have, what is it, the 3rd and the 12th, right? I think that might, if a guy like, for instance, Theo Benaday is still there at 12, maybe you take a chance on having a guy come back to you in 2 years. But it's a lot different. It's a lot better for GMs right now, strictly because the draft is already gone, right? So, for instance, Kevin Mitau from Laval, the wide receiver. His production alone, right? When the draft was before the NFL draft, there might be rumors that he might get a shot in the NFL. Jordan Cisco, for instance, and this is no disrespect to Jordan Cisco at all, okay, but he got a free agent deal with the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, he never played in the CFL, right? So, like, for instance, if a guy like Kevin Mitau was one, the Heck Crichton Award winner, and the draft is before the NFL draft, there might be some teams that are like, man, I heard he might actually get a shot. We need help right now. But now, the draft's passed, the NFL draft's passed, and you've got a Heck Crichton Award winner sitting there who reminds people a lot of Nick Dembski, and not the speed and the playmaker. It's when you looked at Nick Dembski in his draft year for University of Manitoba, you saw the Manitoba coaches getting the ball in his hands anyway. In any way, they just wanted to get the ball in Nick Dembski's hands and get out of the way. Same with Kevin Mitau. I think LaValle did a great job, right? They didn't, they just found ways to get him the football. So now that the NFL draft's gone, you know that a guy like Mitel is going to be there. Hey, what a relief that you don't have to do the math on, I wonder, right? Because if a team needs someone now, they don't want to play that game of, yeah, he might come back to us, and who knows when he's going to come back to us. What if it's in September, right, guys? Here they know they got Mitel right off the bat.
So your partner in crime, Darian Durant, yesterday when we put him to work, he was fantasy GMing every team and what they needed. He said for the Riders, and I want to know if you agree, he said we're fine on the O-line, and he listed off all the dogs that we got and the reasons why. He said we need defense and we need guys that could step in right away, like a Jeffrey Canton Arku, linebacker, originally from Levi, Quebec. He played in Memphis. Guys like that. Do you agree with Darian? It's defense that is our biggest need.
I think that if you go defense and he's there, you pick a guy that, like Joel DeBlanco, right? I think Jeffrey Cantu, I think you're right, right? Like 6'3", played all 13 games. I think he had 70-plus. But he's going to camp with the Dolphins, right? I mean, what if you go and you find Luke Brubacher there from Laurier, who's a fantastic athlete, and you know you've got some great coaches, especially a defensive coordinator that can capitalize on athletic players. Like, look at Corey Mace's scheme. He uses defensive linemen all over the place. They're twisting, they're stunting. And then you look at Luke Brubacher, who's from Laurier, 6'5", 246, but he's mapping. He's all over the field. So, yeah, I think Doubles is right. I think you can go defense, right? But there's a number of guys in there that you could take. And I think Brubacher will be there, you know, within the 3 or the 12 pick maybe, right? And then if you look at the makeup of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders outside of that, right, you look at the defensive front, do you get a guy like Christophe Beaulieu from LaValle? I mean, this is one of the most decorated Canadian Football League career, university careers. I mean, and you look at the film on him that's available online. I mean, it looks like a young Cam Judge playing out there. He's 6'2", he's 195, two-time All-Canadian, right? And then you look at our defensive backs, and you've got some talent there, but as Jeremy O'Day came forth with, right, you're not going to have, you're not going to have the kid from University of Regina, for some reason, his name
Jackson Ford.
Yeah, Jackson. Sorry, I was going to call him Paxton for some. I'm sorry about that, guys. But you know, you're not going to have Jackson Ford,
name.
Right? You've got to lean on guys that are in the Jaden Dahlke's a guy, but man, Christophe Beaulieu, I mean, on film, I like that guy too. So I think doubles. That if you're doubles, you're right. You know, you can go defense. But again, here's the thing about this draft, guys. There's a lot of good offensive linemen. And although we do have some offensive linemen in the stable, right, you also have to look at Phillip Blake's. He's going to be a year older, right? There's some guys in there that you don't necessarily know a ton about as well. So what if a couple of these offensive linemen that you really like for instance, another LaValle kid, Nathan Dumoulin-Duguay, I mean, he can play anywhere on the offensive line. He's another two-time All-Canadian. And he reminds me, specifically me, and this I might be totally out of my mind, but of Michael Couture. I remember watching Couture's film coming out of the draft, and when he went to Winnipeg, he was playing center. I think he's in BC now, but he's a guy that could possibly fit in right away. So you have to remember that, yeah, even though you have a ton of guys, you still want to take guys that you know, A, are going to, they produced in college, but they can probably produce for you. You're always going to look to develop your guys, right? So it doesn't hurt to have a ton of guys. But again, you also want to push guys, right? Bringing in a young guy that's decorated on the offensive line pushes the other offensive linemen, specifically the Canadian guys that are already there. Right? Like, you find out really quick what you have out of a guy like Zach Fry and Evan Florin if you bring in a guy that's drafted high, that's ballyhooed, because players talk, right? If I'm for instance, Fry, I'm just as curious about this draft as GMs and the rest of the staff.
Well, it's coming up here in a couple hours, Luke. Thanks so much. We got to go to break here. Thanks so much. And I know we'll know you'll be watching, and we'll regroup. And then we'll dissect what the Riders do and what all teams do in the CFL draft day. Thanks for joining.
All right, boys.
Luke Mullender on the Western Pizza guest hotline. That's an hour in the books. We got another one coming up after the news. We got Arash Madani. Talk about the dumpster fire that is the Toronto Maple Leafs. It is the all-new Sports Cage live from Studio 620 at Mosaic Stadium on the home of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, 620 CKRM.
If it's happening in sports in Saskatchewan, we've got it covered. The all-new Sports Cage. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll-free 1-866-767-0620. On your radio at 620 CKRM and online at sportscage.com.
Hour two of the Sports Cage live from Studio 620 at Mosaic Stadium. And on Tuesday, the Sports Cage is for Saskatchewan Lotteries, the main fundraiser for sport, culture, and recreation in Saskatchewan. Maz McFly, Dave Thomas, still riding with us here, man. There's a lot of talk in the first week, a little bit of hockey, a little bit of CFL draft. And fellas, we're going to keep it going. And we were just talking over the news here about the Toronto Maple Leafs. So let's bring him in on the Western Pizza guest hotline. Always a good night for a Western Pizza wheel, especially if you're a Bruins fan, I think, this evening, as I predict they take care of business against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Now, Arash, can you just give us a sense of what it's been like in Toronto the last few days after Mitch Marner throws his gloves and we got some lip reading going on and just everything that people love to watch?
Honestly, Barney, you know what it's been? Familiar, comfortable, just a regular way of life. Oh, it must be late April, is it? Oh, right. Like, I was driving about an hour ago, and there's some people with Leaf jerseys, you know, going to a local watering hole, whatever, to watch the game tonight. Like, if body language of people on the street wearing Leaf jerseys is anything, kind of like, you know, head down, shoulder slumped, kicking a rock down the sidewalk.
Like you're going like, to pull right. a 12-hour shift in the mine.
Yeah, like, well, yeah, this happened in 14 and 15 and 16 and 17. You know, for a while, I thought it was Patrice Bergeron that was the issue when it came to the playoffs and the Leafs. And then I'm like, okay, well, maybe it's Marchand. I'm like, no. These are self-inflicted wounds with a bunch of guys who have no idea how to win. You know? So a very familiar feeling in these parts.
Yeah.
Arash, it's Maz here. We just saw a flash across the ticker. It looks like Austin Matthews isn't going to play again tonight. And one of the best things I saw online on Saturday after the game was the doctor from Any Given Sunday pulling a Dennis Quaid from the game. Is it Dr. Nick from The Simpsons? Like, who's pulling him? And what is it food poisoning? Well, is it a legit injury? Like, what do you know or what can you divulge about Matthews? Because he got pulled from the game after the second and he's not going to play tonight.
Okay, I don't think anybody knows definitively, Maz. But this, I think we can all deduce. That Austin Matthews is injured. Okay, Austin Matthews has to be hurt. Because we're talking about a 70-goal scorer. We're talking about the only guy who has provided offensive punch for them. We're talking about the unquestioned leader of the team. Now, could it have been an illness the other night? You know, because he played the first couple of periods in Toronto in Game 4. Could it have been an illness on Saturday? Sure, maybe, I guess. But this can't be illness-related at this point. Or whatever illness it was, you know, this has got to be a significant injury. And so you kind of look at it and you say, so Nylander missed the first couple of games in the series with a concussion and post-concussion issues. And now Matthews is missing it at this point. And, like, this happens in the playoffs. It's brutal that it does for a team. But who else is going to step up? And the answer so far through four games has been, Nobody.
You know what? The only here's another Shink hot take. It's gout. Austin Matthews has gout. Over to you, Dave.
What is the biggest problem with the Toronto Maple Leafs right now, because they're going to go ahead and they're going to start a different goaltender. To me, that doesn't really solve
Dave,
much.
It's like, it's a three-hour show. We don't have that much time.
I know. But Arash, you got your fingers on the pulse. Like, if you had to go ahead and do one thing going into this game, what are you going to do? And please tell me you're not, A, you're going to get some cold and sinus to Austin Matthews, and B, you're not going to change your goaltender, because I think that's the least of your worries.
Culturson pulse.
No, but like, Dave, to me, this is an epidemic over there. Like, what's the issue? Like, is the water rotten? Is there some kind of, like, mold that's infiltrated into everybody? Like, this is not just a this year thing. This is over and over again. Like, we're talking about a franchise that a couple of years ago said two things. One, we gained respect in the handshake line. And two, that winning around the first round is basically the measure of success. On what planet? On what planet? You know, the talk was, well, we didn't lose by as many goals this year as we did last year, so we've made progress. Like, they are wasting valuable years, young foundational years of a great core, because organizationally this whole thing is flawed and broken and rotten. So Dave, I don't know what the first thing would be, but I'd start with the water, because from there, who knows the oxygen, who knows what they're breathing in there, because everything is wrong.
It is Coast to Coast with Arash Madani for Smart Investing Solutions. Be smart with your money. Call Brian Gawley at Smart Investing Solutions, 546-2533.
So here's the thing. Now, whatever happens with the Leafs, and I honestly, whether it's tonight, I don't think they beat the Bruins. And magically, if they do pull this off, with the roster that they have, and Brad Treliving doesn't have a great track record when it comes to this, like a guy like a Julian Brisebois, somebody that could do something with all of these core if they decide to keep them or break them up or get rid of them to retool this team, because I don't think it's getting any better if you're not willing to get rid of Mitch. And that was my thing. Same with the Nylander. You're going to overpay for this guy, and he's going to disappear in the playoffs, and here we are. And Barney said something the other day. The Mitch Marner temper tantrum on the bench throwing his gloves down. I don't really, it's not that I don't care about Olympic hockey, but Barney's like, that could affect him on the, you know, his chance for the Olympic team, because you need guys that are like team guys and not selfish.
No, you know what else you need? Grown-ups.
Yeah.
Men.
You don't,
didn't Nylander sum it up? This isn't junior hockey, bro.
Bro. I love how he's put it at the end. Bro.
Hey, but for a guy that watches a lot of junior hockey, Dave, you've watched a lot of junior hockey. That crap doesn't even happen in junior hockey anymore. Because those kids are weeded out a long time before they get to major junior or NCAA or whatever. It is baffling to me that we saw that on an NHL bench in April in Toronto.
And
Well, and Dave, like, honestly, I'm surprised you're surprised. Because, and the answer to that, and I'm being dead serious, like it sounds like I'm trying to be funny or flippant, because the reason why is track record. When have you seen any of these guys, any of them, from the so-called captain who came home to bring a cup to his hometown, to the first overall pick, to any of them? When have you seen anything from not just the forwards, and I have a lot of respect for Morgan Riley and how he handles himself, but even Riley. Mm-hmm. What have you seen from any of them that says to you, these guys are winners. These guys are champions.
I would love to see Tyler Bertuzzi's phone talking to his real friends in this day and age and going, what was I thinking?
Could you imagine? Remember the story about when the year the Avs won the Cup? Nathan McKinnon was yelling at guys for their diet and what they were putting into their body in the offseason. Could you imagine Nathan McKinnon the other night going through, like, I just can't imagine. We'll be that Simpsons meme. Enough already. They're dead. We'll get off that. Let's go Avs Jets. The Jets done. It seems like they, not only the Winnipeg's fallen off a bit, but the Colorado Avalanche have cranked it up to just a whole other level.
They're not playing fit. They got to play physical, and I know they're extremely fast, but I feel the Jets have just gone away from how they're built. That's just my take.
Well, how are they built? This is an interesting part. What do you mean by that?
They have some bodies.
Hellebuck's getting a lot of unfounded criticism. Look at the last game, okay? First of all, Connor Hellebuck's not the one taking the penalties, all right? So it's a 1-1 hockey game at the midway point of the second period. And what happens from there? One's a power play goal he had no chance on. The other is a redirect through traffic that nobody could see. The next one's a power play goal. Like, it's easy to look at it and say, oh, they've given up this many, it's bad goaltending. But if you actually break it down kind of sequence by sequence, you actually say to yourself, this is not a goaltending issue. This is a Colorado team that, as you guys just pointed out, has turned it up. And Winnipeg's kind of their heads on a swivel saying, wait a minute, what's this? We're not ready for this. We're not used to this.
You can't,
and they don't know what to do. They don't know how to handle themselves.
They have to at somehow. Oh, isn't there? There was a comment from one of the Jets that after game. I think it was two or three. Oh yeah, well, Colorado made adjustments and we didn't. That's kind of a dig at the coaching, right?
Shifley.
But I think the Jets and it's probably almost too late tonight because now you cannot take any penalties. But in game two and three, that's how I always thought of playoff hockey. You can maybe take, especially game one, you can take a few penalties if it means a smidge late hit that really affects that guy for later in the game. I just feel the Jets they're not playing heavy. They're not, and that's how they're built. They got to play heavy, and they don't look deep enough.
And fellas, I just think that, like, there's one part of all this that's really important to remember, and it may sound cliche, but it's not. Players and teams that know how to win and have been there before, it matters. Like, I get it's all about younger, faster, cheaper, stronger, all that stuff. That's a regular season thing, okay? And it doesn't matter the sport. Okay, the Toronto Raptors were hopeless forever. And then what happens in 2019? They bring in a former Finals MVP, Kawhi Leonard, who ends up being the Finals MVP again. They bring in another vet like Marc Gasol. They bring in another vet like Serge Ibaka. Look at the Dallas Stars right now. How many other teams down 2-0 after losing both games on home ice just say, to hell with it? Those are vets. They are rugged dudes. They know how to win. They've been through it. They've got themselves back in the series. Colorado's been through hell and back this year with a million different things. But now that, as our old friend John Gibbons would say, now that it's nut cutting time, they know how to win. They know what it takes at this level. Look at those Winnipeg Jets. There's a lot of Maple Leaf syndrome in there. How many of those dudes have been through it before who know anything about what it takes to win at this point of the season?
Arash, this question may be getting a little bit ahead of ourselves on this one.
But
sure. I was told once, you cannot coach. You cannot coach experience. You cannot coach championship pedigree. It has to come on its own in both instances.
Sure.
So if we're putting, let's say, Toronto, Winnipeg, and Tampa Bay all in the same boat right now, and you've got one team that you can go to change and run as your general manager or as being the closest to getting back into the conversation as a cup contender, who are you going with? Winnipeg, Toronto, Tampa Bay?
You have to go with Toronto for a few reasons. One, the East is a much easier road. Two, there's talent there and movable talent there that you can then retool your roster, work with a couple of the pieces that you already have, and then go actually make some things happen. Tampa's finished, guys. They had their run, and it was a heck of a run. A couple of cups, got to another couple of cup finals. Like,
it's a good run.
Stamkos and Hedman, first ballot Hall of Famers. The Lightning era, as we knew them, is finished. So if you want the blank canvas, I guess Tampa's the team. If you think you can retool one of those three right now, and actually do something with it, I'd pick Toronto.
We all just said the exact opposite before we talked to a rat. Palm trees and no state tax. Okay, all
that's,
right.
That's,
all right.
That's why Arash is in a different spot than us, because his takes are better. So here's the thing. A question. If Vancouver wins tonight and knocks out Nashville, how fast can you get to Vancouver? Because we'll hop flights, too, that we can go start rioting and start celebrating as Canuck fans. I think the organic movement is starting if the Canucks win tonight after those two comebacks that they had.
Oh, yeah.
It's a whole new movement. And 2011, it may look like child's play.
Sorry, when you if said organic keeps rolling in Vancouver, I was, my mind went elsewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that going on too, and unheated yoga, whatever it is. But here's the thing.
Here's a question for you about Vancouver, though. How many goaltenders will they start in these playoffs?
As many as it takes.
No, well, do you think Thatcher Demko's stock has gone down somewhat because he missed so much of last season? He's been hurt now down the stretch, and now he's hurt again in the playoffs?
No, because there's such a demand and there's such a short supply of those quality ones. Goaltenders are like quarterbacks.
Yeah. True.
Not enough of them, and everybody wants them.
And I'm not a huge Canucks fan. The guy I am a huge fan of is Rick Tocchet. I like what he's doing. So if they do end up winning, I like the Rick Tocchet angle. There's a lot of other things that I'm like, yeah, I don't care. But to see that, to see what he was able, and we talked about this on the show yesterday, guys like JT Miller, like, I'm out of here. Get rid of me. And he's like, no, calm down. Let's have a conversation. Let's just try it my way. And how often do you ever see an athlete who is disgruntled change his mind and say, no, I'm good. I want to stay. It's almost, it never happens. I like the Preds. I hope that they can pull this out and get this thing back to Nashville, but
they could.
Man, I don't know.
I mean, look, Vancouver just pulled the rabbit out of the hat.
Oh,
I know. No business winning. The Canucks have been what? Basically a 500 team in 2024?
Yeah, since the All-Star break, they've been kind of around 500.
Yeah, they had a great start to the season, but they've been very ordinary since.
And then final game tonight, we'll wrap up. DeRod the Bod and the Carolina Hurricanes, do they take out the Islanders? Because I think the Islanders, they're on borrowed time.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah. As an old football scout would write on his reports about a player, you know, some would be, you know, DOS, which would be day one starter, but when it comes to the Islanders, it'd be NGE, not good enough. That's the New York Islanders. That's what they are. They're NGE.
We need, and as much as it pains me because I have Nashville guys in a draft, we need Vancouver, Edmonton. That's going to be good. That's speaking of riots.
Oof. Yeah.
Speaking of heartache and pain for one of those fan bases when one of them loses.
Jacked up truck guy versus IPA man bun guy. What a series.
Don't forget, jacked up truck guy wears white Oakleys. He has white Oakley sunglasses.
He was in Winnipeg the other day. They showed him. Arash, always a lot of fun. Let's see how this shakes down, and then we'll catch up on Thursday. And I look forward to seeing where everything goes.
All right, thanks, boys.
Arash Madani, coast to coast with Arash for Brian Gawley and Smart Investing Solutions. We are live at Mosaic Stadium, getting ready for the CFL draft tonight. The Sports Cage for Saskatchewan Lotteries on this Tuesday. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Rob Vanstone shortly. We're waiting for Rob Vanstone, probably driving here from the vet as we speak. It is the brand new Sports Cage on the home of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, 620 CKRM.
New Sports Cage is brought to you by Bronco Plumbing and Heating, where professional service is guaranteed. They'll treat you right. 781-2090. Don't miss a minute of the all-new Sports Cage. Podcasts are posted at sportscage.com. 620 CKRM.
It's a CFL draft. We're live at Mosaic Stadium, at Studio 620. It's Barney Shinkaruk, Maz McFly, and Dave Thomas for Saskatchewan Lotteries on this Tuesday. What do we want to unpack there from Arash Madani?
First off, and he's never made any bones about it, he's not a Toronto Maple Leafs fan. He just thinks that everything that that organization does, and it's been for years, even before, like, hearing him on the Sports Cage, the other, because he's just there, and you know what it's like. Okay, so look at the fishbowl we're in when it comes to Rider Nation and when things, you know, and can you, and there, like, and the heartache and pain in 1967 and everything that they do. And we talked earlier, if you were writing a script for a TV show of how it was going to implode this year, you'd be like, food poisoning, migraine, headaches, and a hissy fit on the bench, and some suspect code. No, well, that, no one would believe that story. But like he said, every year, it's the same. It's a little different, but it's just the same thing again and again and again.
See, I can't believe that he would want to go ahead and try to solve that. Thinking that that was the easiest of Tampa Bay, Winnipeg, and Toronto, that Toronto would be the easiest fix of the three to make into Cup contenders. I don't know where you'd even start with that roster.
Because when you said that, I automatically, I was like, well, Tampa Bay, because they got enough guys that have won Cups. You need to retool a couple of things there and get a little youth, and maybe you got to get rid of some of those guys. But I would have picked Tampa. I don't know, when you asked that, is that what you were thinking too?
I was thinking that because Kevin Cheveldayoff, good Blaine Lake boy, by the way, you know what? He's a magician with what he's been able to do with the cap and recruiting people to Winnipeg. I'm sorry, but when you're competing with Tampa Bay and Winnipeg, it's a choice. But, you know, he's made magic, and for what he has to do to keep guys there, I think that would be the hardest. But really, if you're in Toronto, you have, I don't know where you have wiggle room with those guys on those massive deals.
I know, it's so funny, like the Noah Hanifin thing with the Flames. Oh yeah, no, I want to, he gets to Vegas and within 13 seconds he signs a long-term extension because he's in Nevada and there's no state tax and it's the Vegas Golden Knights and it's a good situation to be in.
Oh yeah, no, that's a, wouldn't you do the same thing?
And exactly. And if you're going to become a free agent and you've earned that right to be like, no, we're going to hold out, because I remember him getting asked, we like it here. We're going to... And then, like, within 13 seconds of getting to Vegas, he's signing a long-term extension to be like, finally, a place that I like.
I was shocked that he took Toronto as well. I was like, is he joking?
Where do you start?
Where's the punchline?
Where do you start?
Well, you got to get rid of Mitch Marner.
Mitch is the one you're going to jettison.
Well, you know he's...
He just signed Nylander, so yeah, okay, you probably
so here's the thing. Austin Matthews, and I feel bad for him, if he never... Because he's the heart and soul of your team, and I feel bad because he's so good. He just may be trapped on a team that's never, ever going to win a cup. But he is actually a guy I like.
What happens when he asks for a trade?
Well, then...
Then the world explodes.
Just like Connor McDavid eventually will.
I know.
They don't win.
Well, okay, so keep in mind, when Leon leaves... And he's earned that right. Like, if this doesn't happen next year, and then it won't be long.
Absolutely.
McDavid's like, yeah, you know what, guys? Like, hey, I gave you 10 years.
He's like the Brett Hull, right? Remember, Hull was lighting it up in St. Louis. And you just knew that him and Adam Oates weren't going to stay together forever. Oates goes to Boston, and then you know that he's leaving soon because it has to happen. If these guys are competitors, they want to win.
And this was the problem when Aginla was in his prime, and they should have got rid of him and got a bunch of assets for him when they knew it wasn't going to work. And then they waited too long, and then you end up getting nothing, and then you're just middling yourself to the middle, and you can't keep living on a 2004 scenario, which a lot of people are.
Luke Mulliver's draft year.
I don't know that it's funny that it's an easy fix. For me with the Leafs, it's always been, you need a goalie. You need a good goalie. Like, a good goalie could solve a lot of their problems.
Nah. Who's the last good goalie they've had?
Felix Potvin.
Felix Potvin is where I was going to go. And Potvin was good before he left.
Curtis Joseph?
Cujo was at the tail end of his career, but he was good. Yeah,
sure. But if you had
those are 90s goalies.
If you have a rock star goalie, and if that can solve a lot of your problems, like look at like quarterbacking in football. How many times you can have a good quarterback in an average team, and that good quarterback can win you some games?
Look at Roberto Luongo. He solved all the problems in Vancouver.
Did you see him on Twitter asking about if he's getting the star? Because the Canucks are going to call him up.
That's awesome. I don't see, and again, we don't have to agree on everything. That's the beauty of it. I don't think that the goaltending, having the unbelievable goaltender, is the big thing. Aiden Hill.
Yep.
Kemper, who was in that when Colorado won? Wasn't like an all...
Darcy Kemper, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's hockey shifted to where they're building teams differently. And I equated this months ago. The Toronto Maple Leafs remind me of the guy
in high school or just out of high school that bought the $50,000 vehicle, and he was extended at the Brick or at Future Shop with big subs and big screen TVs, but yet he was renting a basement suite. It's like, get a house, man. Put your money into a property. So I feel that the Leafs are just putting their money into three, maybe four useless pieces, and now they're not. They can't sign a good goalie. They can't sign three decent defensemen. Morgan Riley, right? And again, there's another guy that might say, hey, it's been real. Can you get me out of here?
Well, so long as his fiance is still figure skating in Ontario, he'll stay.
How many years does she have left? Those knees. That's a tough sport.
But no, absolutely. But do you not think that there's maybe a problem with leadership in Toronto? And I'm not just talking inside the room, top down. Now, I'll draw the equivalent, right? Trevor Harris. And again, there's a long list of players that do that. Trevor Harris took a pay cut, said, I'm going to restructure my deal. I've got something to prove, and I'm going to come in and prove it this year, number one. Number two, but also with that money, we can make the team better. I can get another offensive lineman in front of me. I can go ahead and get another wide receiving target. I know we got to work on our defensive line. The list goes on and on. There's not a lot of those team guys because contracts are different in the NHL. I get that. But Mitch Marner, William Nylander, Austin Matthews, I don't see them taking anything to get the team better. I don't see them taking a step back to help make the team better. John Tavares, again, he's the leader of the team, but is he really?
How many years does he have left?
One, I think, after this.
Oof. That guy's aged like 25 years in the last
5. I always feel bad. I'm like, God, it's him again. He's got to go stand in front of the media.
Oh, yeah.
Give those same stock answers.
Canada, World Under 18 Hockey Championship today. Dave and I were talking about this off mic. Laid a dirty sack beating on Kazakhstan, unfortunately. You know, it was tough. I think the Kazakhstan one player had the Hattie, though. His name escapes me right now.
Did TJ Ginla go off today like I said yesterday he would?
Yeah, some nice plays. The Canada was trying some stuff. You know, it's tough watching, you know, Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan and Norway are going to play in the relegation round. So Canada's now off. They get into the elimination round against Latvia on Thursday. And again, the tie-in there is we got Reese Hamilton from Whitewood, Saskatchewan, Roger McQueen from up in Saskatoon playing on that team, and Ryder Ritchie, who plays for the Prince Albert Raiders.
Can we totally switch gears here?
okay, we have to do the clutch performer.
I was going to do the Roger. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, I was going to give you the Roger McQueen story from Saskatoon. It's cool when you see kids that have played with your kids along the way.
No, do that. We'll save this for after the break. I want to mention something that was blowing up my Twitter feed. We're all fans of country music here, and there was a giant controversy over the weekend, and people are not happy with one gentleman known as Chief Eric Church, but we'll save that for a bit. You do your thing.
Okay, real quick, yeah. Roger McQueen, fantastic hockey player. And, you know, sometimes you can just tell when kids are young, they've got the ability, the skating, they can see and do things that other kids can't.
Dad's a beauty, too.
Oh, dad is awesome, absolutely. There was a coach in minor hockey who will remain nameless. His defensive strategy when Roger McQueen was on the ice, we're going to throw our sticks in this A final of the tournament out in Delisle, or Dalmady, pardon me. So there you go. He's always had it, even back in Adam, when the strategy, throw your stick and tackle. Them. That's all you got to do.
It's a good one. All right, now time for Clutch Performer for Nick Service in Emerald Park, your local Massey Ferguson Challenger, Rogator, Gleaner, and Fendt dealer. Call 781-1077. I think you got it ready there, Alan. Let her play, my friend.
Danielson right wing to the goal line. Looking for the trailer. Nothing there. Centers! He scores! Marcus Nylund! 1-0! A minute 13
in
the period 1.
Marcus Nguyen is our clutch performer from the Portland Winterhawks. A Hattie last night as they dumped the Prince George Cougars 4-1. And we had John Keane on earlier. They go at it again tomorrow night. Portland is up in that series 2-1. That's your clutch performer, Phoenix Service in Emerald Park. Time for a quick one when we get back. Rob Vanstone is going to Jonas. It is the all-new Sports Cage on the home of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, 620 CKRM.
The all-new Sports Cage. Text 306-936-6262. 620 CKRM.
Welcome back to the brand new Sports Cage. We are live at Studio 620 at Mosaic Stadium as we get ready for the CFL draft. Starting to get a little bit of a mixer here, boys. People are rolling in.
We got jerseys. We got cheer team.
Gainer.
Food set. Where's Gainer?
Lurking
right behind
in the back.
Gainer's lurking. He's the writer for the Riders. He's a wealth of knowledge, a statistician. I rattled off the year Suter got drafted. Yeah. And then Rob Vanstone just filled in the rest of the blanks.
He's like Wikipedia.
I know he is. He joins the Sports Cage this afternoon. Rob, is there a favorite draft of yours that comes to mind for all-time Rider lore where it was just like a home run round after round after round?
I really like the 2006 draft that Roy Shivers had. They got Andy Fantuz in third overall that year, and he turned into a tremendous player. And Paul McCallum had signed with BC as a free agent after the 2015 season, so the Riders desperately needed a kicker, and they got Luca Congi in that draft. And that Luca Congi ended up kicking field goals in the 2007 Grey Cup. So that was pretty crucial, because Andy Fantuz is, I think, a Hall of Fame credentials type receiver.
Yeah.
And then Luca Congi filled a huge void that was left by a kicker who eventually was inducted into the Hall of Fame. So that 06 draft class of Roy Shivers was pretty important.
Changes over the years. It's been obviously crazy, and you know, your memory goes back. How much is the CFL draft changes? What changes do you really like? Maybe what changes do you still like to see them make when it comes to the CFL draft?
Well, I had a chat with Glenn Suter last week about when he was drafted in the second round in 1984. And I was reminded of the nature of the degree to which the draft has changed. He found out he was drafted by listening on the radio in Vancouver. And then he got a call later in the day, but everybody would, you know, you were almost a prisoner of the conventional media to find out what was happening. I remember back in 1988, Jim Hiller of the Melville Millionaires got drafted by the Los Angeles Kings. He was playing in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League at the time. And I phoned him to get his reaction on being picked by the Los Angeles Kings, who he is now coaching, and he found out he was drafted by me. From me. That's no great feat of mine, but that's the way technology was. So technology has changed everything. I mean, nobody really, there was some semblance of a combine way back when, but generally on a farm. Now you're looking at all this testing and everything.
Yeah. A combine in Saskatchewan meant something completely different a bunch of years ago, to be like, really? John Deere, New Holland, or Massey Ferguson?
You know what?
What are we talking?
Gleaner, Fent.
And the cone drill, was that? That's how many we stole on a Friday night after having a few drinks driving around with your buddies?
Or how many I ate at Milky Way.
Yeah.
And once upon a time, it was so rare for a player to go to the National Football League.
Yeah.
And now you're looking at all these draftees, UDFAs, rookie mini camps, and you have to factor that in. Whereas once upon a time, if you picked a player in the CFL draft, generally you were going to get him. The exception was 1986. The Riders picked Reuben Mays, second overall. The good news is he was Offensive Rookie of the Year, and the bad news was it was for the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
1,353 yards later.
I said to Sheldon DePastic, you're the pride of North Battleford, Saskatchewan. He goes, no, that's Reuben Mays. That's not me. He goes, I'm just from North Battleford, Saskatchewan.
Sheldon had a terrific career.
I know, and he's a beaut. And if you've never heard Sheldon's story.
Oh, it's so unlikely.
He was selling hot dogs outside the bar where the Riders were at night after training camp, and eventually got himself a meeting with the GM. It was Cal Murphy, right?
Yep.
And then he told him, I don't think you're good enough. And then something happened, and there's a phone call, and then the rest is history or whatever. But you just think, wow.
Actually, it was Alan Ford back then.
Oh, sorry, Al Ford.
Yeah.
Don Hodgins. Dad of Regina Pat Canadians head coach Ryan Hodgins. Don's Mr. North Battleford.
Coached
hockey, coached football, all these guys, right? So talk about a guy that built a lot of things in North Battleford, sort of.
You know, if I was a general manager, I would despise the draft the most in my job, because the results are always tangible, right? You can see who worked out and who didn't. But sometimes, and you were telling, there's so many stories, right? So this first-round draft pick didn't work out, but all of a sudden it turns into Gary Lewis, right? There must be tons of tales like that.
There are so many obscure ones. And, you know, in 1984, the Riders it's kind of funny how it worked. The Riders picked Robert Reed out of Simon Fraser. He's a running back. They picked him 9th overall to conclude the first round. With the first pick of the second round, the Riders picked Glenn Suter. So flip a coin. Glenn could have easily been a first rounder. And Robert Reed was okay, but in September of 85, the Riders traded him as part of a 6-player deal with the Ottawa Rough Riders. And the principal player that came back was a defensive tackle named Gary Lewis, who played for the Riders from 85 to 94 and helped them win a Grey Cup and is now in the Plaza of Honor. And, you know, there was Junior Robinson, there was Michael Ealarms, there was Derek Zeno, there was Jeff Roberts. But the big one was getting Gary Lewis as part of a package that included relinquishing Robert Reed.
So if you had to go back in time, and this is completely unfair. This is completely unfair. Who would the best Rough Rider draft pick of all time be?
I mean, Gene Mikowski was a third-rounder, Hall of Famer.
I want you to say Jeff Fairholme in case he's listening.
I love Jeff Fairholme, second overall in 1988. He only caught, I think, 4 passes as a senior at Arizona. They went completely, almost exclusively to a run offense. Oh. And he caught 4 passes as a senior, and then his first year he caught in the CFL, he caught 11 touchdown passes.
Did we draft Zarka?
Yes, we did. We drafted him in 97.
What round did he go?
Oh, what was he? Was he a fourth or? Yeah. He wasn't a high pick.
It was a good pick.
And that was a really good pick.
So when you speak of Zarka, that's still one thing that I don't know if it makes anybody else emotional. When you see at the end of the Grey Cup when Neil Hughes kept getting the ball at the end of the game to help run down the clock or whatever, I just like that kind of stuff. You're like, oh man, you're just like... All of these guys over the years and these different stories. Okay.
And Neil didn't get drafted. He was bypassed in the entire 04 draft, signed as a free agent.
Yeah, I know.
And look at the career. He had 11 years, Plaza of Honor, and the nice punctuation mark to the 2013 Grey Cup.
Well, wasn't that in large part because he broke his leg in his final year of eligibility at CIS up in Saskatoon against the Huskies in a game at Griffith Stadium, if I'm not mistaken.
I remember him having a broken leg with the Regina Rams junior team.
Okay.
But I remember watching him at Tom Collegiate, and it was just like, this guy's scary.
Yeah,
Watching him with both iterations of the Regina Rams, but, you know, there really wasn't at the time much of a premium attached to Canadian running backs.
No.
You know, and so much of. You know, there was none.
Whenever he got a chance, he performed. First touchdown pass Darian Durant ever threw, it was to Neil Hughes in Hamilton. Riders threw a touchdown pass to Neil Hughes in the 2007 West Final in BC. Neil Hughes was a terrific player, and it was so easy to typecast a player, especially an undrafted Canadian, as exclusively a special teams player, and Neil was terrific at that. But I can't think of any times when he got the chance on offense where he didn't deliver.
No, you're
and,
right.
For a long time.
Is that the one that stands out? He was a Regina guy, and there's been some Saskatoon guys. We mentioned North Battleford as well. Is he the one, like, local guy that stands out when you go back and think about the high school days?
Oh, boy. I'm just trying to think of local ones that do. I mean, you know, Mitch Picton was a fifth-round pick in 2017, and look at the career he's had.
What was the Ford kid that ran, was unbelievable for the Thunder?
Stu Ford. Yeah, I think he was pretty much a territorial exemption because he played for the Thunder. Yep. And he got his shot. It was the first game after Ron Lancaster passed away against BC in September of 2008, and he scored on a 55-yard screen pass and also had a touchdown run.
Yeah.
And, like, where'd this come from, right? You pay so much homage to amateur sports, and when you see the depth with which you can mine the local football ranks for players like that, whether it's Neil Hughes or Stu Ford, and you get a career as a partially as a ball carrier from not even being drafted, just great
stuff. Dan Farthing.
To me, the best hands I think I've ever seen. If that got near that guy, he caught it, no matter the beating he was going to take. And it's too bad that era of team never had success, because when you see the Dan Farthing world and you see some of those catches. So, Rob, here's a question for you. The Corey Mace era has started, and you've been around it since the start. What do you think some of those combine meetings or interviews, how many people are making their way onto the Rider, ticking the box list, and making their way off because of what Coach Mace is going to want and need from these guys if they get drafted coming into town? Because that has probably changed night and day 180 degrees.
Well, you know, Corey has talked quite openly about you have to buy into everything here. And, you know, he's talked so much about the caliber of players as people. And that's not to denigrate any of the people who were here before Corey Mace. You know, I'm one of them. I'll denigrate myself. you know, that's, you know, I think the combine interviews and everything like that, there's such an emphasis on character and such an emphasis on being a, you know, responsible representative of the organization in every facet. And family is big and character is big. And just the, they want somebody who's got football in his veins. And I just, you know, you look at the overall level of enthusiasm, just you're around him at all.
Yeah.
And it is really contagious.
Because I bet you there are guys that on paper or on film, great. But that's not going to be a Saskatchewan Rough Rider guy because he's not going to be all in. He's going to be this, he's going to be that, but he's not all in. Or maybe this guy over here, no, but he's all in. Yeah, and you could tell. I think that's probably the big difference, and this is why it's very interesting because we talked about, even Darian mentioned it yesterday, the Huffnagel tree and everybody came from and how Ryan Dinwiddie in Toronto, even though they lost a bunch of people because they know how to replace and they do that, and I said, I'm always intrigued by how Calgary drafts because they'll pick people you've never heard of or crazy off the board, and so because of that tree, I'm very interested, and we know that necessarily Jeremy's name is the general manager, but with the influence of how this draft is going to look for the Riders, there could probably be some prizes here and some names maybe we're not even thinking of or on the top 25 on Three Down Nation or wherever we're getting our stats. Do you have kind of that inkling as well that this could be defining that we may just be doing things differently this year?
Well, it's interesting because I did a I was in on the mock drafts. And so it was interesting to hear Corey and Kyle Carson, the assistant GM, and what they thought. And I looked at our rankings for every position. And I had been doing my own just based on media reports and everything.
Sure.
And combine stats. And there were names on that list I'd never seen. Not only that, but players who were up high on the list. And
there's an
nth degree of insight that is provided by Jeremy O'Day and Kyle Carson. That, you know, Kent Maggeri is a big part of that as well. And just you realize how intricate this process and how exacting it is when you see a length, you know, you're looking at that list from the bottom up and it's just like who's that and I thought I did a pretty thorough job of looking at it.
Did obviously you have to fire yourself as GM after you saw that to be like, I don't even know what I was thinking?
Actually, I made their day by telling them they could fire me. The draft party was a little early this year.
Rider Nation is so privileged to be able to have you as our eyes and ears, and you're giving us some unprecedented access, whether it was behind the free agent doors when that period opened up and now the draft. So you're getting this access that we all get to live vicariously through. Is there anything that's surprised you behind those doors that goes on? Again, you've got a lot of experience with this team.
Well, the hours that people put in, like it's amazing just to see the degree to which people are invested in this. I mean, you knew coaches put in long hours, and you knew players put in long hours. I don't think I realized how much was done on their own outside the conventional hours. You know, it's not unusual. I'm a night owl, so I'm in here a lot during the evenings, and it's not unusual for me to be taking an elevator at 8 or 9 o'clock coming in and or going for supper and seeing a coach or a player. You know, it just... And you really develop a sense really quickly of the responsibility that entails being a member of this organization. You carry it everywhere you go, and I didn't realize that it was to that extent until I got here.
We got a minute and 20 seconds left here. Quickly, want to get your take on what happened and how the Riders did in the global draft today.
You know, it was interesting because I talked to Jeremy O'Day this morning. They were looking at the punter as their first round pick. They were thinking of drafting him when the third overall pick came up. That's how high they were on him. And then they picked the USC defensive lineman, and then they ended up
You're still there.
You know, they ended up striking a Rich in the second round as well. And that's pretty huge. I mean, you look how that formula worked last year with Adam Korsak coming here, and I mean, whether it's Adam Korsak or Habakkuk Baldonado, both players that Riders picked in the global draft last year ended up playing.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you generally you're hoping to get one for two. One of them was a West Division All-Star.
Maz thinks every CFL team should have at least two or three Australian punters on their roster.
Well, they're good at can you argue with the success from where they're coming from because of just how they grow up with soccer and rugby?
It's just it's in the DNA. And last year in the game in Calgary, Brett Lawther was sick. They had to fly in Ryan Mescal on the morning of the game, an Australian place kicker. He went 4-for-4.
I know. So I was at the game. I was one of the 10,000 people that was at the game.
Well, you were the one booing me. I kept sucking.
I had Ryder Green. Oh, come on. I had Ryder Green on. It was a good day. It was a good day to be a Ryder fan.
That was such a cool night. It was it's neat to see walking around Calgary and you hear when the Riders, I remember when the Riders jogged off the field after the pregame warm-up and they got an ovation. It felt like a home game.
I know.
And I hadn't seen a game in Calgary, a Rider Calgary game since 1991 in Calgary, so it had been a while.
Rob Vanstone from the Saskatchewan, my friend, a Riders historian, and it's like Wikipedia. I love it. Thanks so much for taking time. I know you had to rush back here from the vet and on this exciting day. It's starting to get full here.
Yeah, and there was good news from the vet too, so awesome. kind of happy about that. It's vet day.
Right on.
Thanks for your time and sorry for that bad joke.
No, thanks, Rob. It is the all-new Sports Cage live from Studio 620 at Mosaic Stadium. It's CFL Draft Day on the home of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, 620 CKRM.
If it's happening in sports in Saskatchewan, we've got it covered. The all-new Sports Cage. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll-free 1-866-767-0620. On your radio at 620 CKRM and online at sportscage.com.
We are back, Saskatchewan, Harvard 620, Studio 620 here at Mosaic Stadium. We're getting ready for the CFL draft. The draft party has started, fellas, and it's real now. They were expecting 300 people. I would say they get 300 in here. That's probably about half of what's here right now. This place is going to be absolutely jammed.
Ryder Pep Band just played Sweet Caroline, just in case you were wondering, to get everybody.
I'm thinking that if we get any more in here, we might need a midnight lunch.
Ooh, now we're talking, David.
Buns, cheese,
Sasky.
Pickles?
Yeah.
Okay. He was I think Rob Vanstone's, he's our first round draft pick, but officially 40 years ago this year, Glenn Suter was a second round draft pick of the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Suits, first and second round. You're getting a huge signing bonus either way. So, you're a big money guy. What do you remember about being drafted 40 years ago in a whole completely different CFL than what we would experience today?
Well, yeah, now you can see the announcement live on television. Back then, it was on radio, and it was probably delayed. And, you know, I know it was early in the morning because it was done early in Eastern time. And because I was up and I had a call earlier from the Edmonton Eskimos at the time, now Elks, that they were looking at me as a potential draft pick and how I feel about playing in Edmonton. And I said, I just love an opportunity. It doesn't matter where to me. And then I heard my name, 10th overall, and was ecstatic. My first thought was, I've been drafted to Ronnie and George's place.
Nice.
I was just excited as I could be. And as I mentioned to Rob, I heard you talking to Rob, who's such a great encyclopedia of Rider history. But, you know, I was talking to Rob for that article. And think back to when I landed in Saskatchewan for the first time, you know, knowing the fan base was passionate and they had good fans. I knew that. I mean, everybody knew that. But what I didn't know to what extent it was. I didn't know how passionate they were, how real it was. Like, this was, you know, this was a different level, and it didn't take long. Honestly, it took me probably 72 hours in Regina first, then we went up to Saskatoon for a camp. But, you know, in the first week, I thought, oh, man, I want to play here. I got to make this team. I have got to make this football team.
40 years ago, Glenn, Against All Odds by Phil Collins was nipping at the heels of Hello by Lionel Richie for number one on the Billboard top 10, by the way. And then Van Halen Jump was creeping up. So you seem like a Van Halen Jump guy. We talked to Rob Vanstone. I want to know, was there a combine or anything back then? Or, you know, how did you show what you were all made of?
Well, we did have a combine. And in fact, you know, I ran the drills fairly well. I felt like I, you know, covered that end of it. And, you know, the interview process was, I think, different than it is now. Not quite as detailed. It was sort of on the field discussions with coaches that were, you know, watching and timing you and things like that. I had a terrible 40 time. I knew that was going to hurt me. I was hurt at the time of the combine a little bit, so but I didn't want to tell anybody, because the last thing I wanted was to have a coach think that I was possibly trying to make an excuse before we even started.
So soft kid from the West Coast. Watch out. And, hey, what was your 40 time?
Forever. No, it was. I ran a 4.9, which was not as good as a couple of O linemen in the combine. So
you were Peyton Manning before his time. 4.9. And that forever thing, you've used that before. I know you have. You probably use that on the party circuit too. When someone, what was your 40 time? Forever. That's not new material, but I like that. We like that.
that is definitely not new material, I guarantee you. No, but I remember thinking, you know, I was watching a lot of players at the time, a lot of players that, you know, especially from the Lions, because I was living up in Prince George as a young kid and then came down to Vancouver, you know, for high school and things like that, and then college. But I was watching the Lions and fixated on them, and I'd go and watch them practice. And Nelson Martin was a safety for the Lions, and I used to watch him practice and got to meet him at a young age. And another one was Everson Walls, and I loved Ronnie Lott down in the NFL. But Everson Walls, I remember reading an article that he was a corner, I believe, in Dallas at the time, and he ran a 4.85 or something at an NFL combine. And I remember after I ran my 4.9 thinking, okay, well, there's a guy playing corner in the NFL that ran a 4.85. You know, it's amazing how your mind can take you down a dark path, and then you fight your way back for obscure reasons to get back to a lighter path. And my first thought when I crossed the finish line and the coaches looked at their watches and went, ooh, 4.9. Okay, thank you. And I went, oh no, like, I'm not going to get drafted. And then you fight with that. And you come back, and I start doing some research, and I find out that a guy in the NFL who's a starting corner ran a 4.85. That's not far off. If he can make it, I can make it. Tried to fight my way back out of that rabbit hole I was in.
Glenn, you talk about the numbers, right? And obviously, when we're all going to be armchair general managers on a day like today and who should be picked, and we look at the bench press and the cone drill and the 40, like you say, let's be more realistic. And if we had to put on a player personnel hat, and this is where I defer to you because you've got such a handle on Canadian talent, what are you looking for outside of the numbers?
Well, I'm looking for... I think when you get to where you're at a combine, or where you're, high on a scouts list or the scouts list, and there's a whole bunch of players that may not even be in the combine, but that are still on the radar for a lot of scouts. And if you're on that list, you're a good athlete. You're an athlete that they believe is good enough to play at the pro level. So then you get to that last little, you know, what is that last fraction of whatever it is, the unmeasurable, the intangible that makes you become a starter for years or a draft pick that is a bust and doesn't make the team. So that to me is the difference between a good draft pick and a bad one, and between a winning team and a losing team. How that team comes together, are they made up of guys with great character that will battle through adversity without pointing fingers? You know, basically, are they winners off the field as much as they are on? Learn about their families, learn how they handle adversity. See, you can see that in a practice. You can see it in the meeting rooms. You can see it when things go bad. When a guy gets beat, does he grab his hamstring, even though he doesn't have a hamstring injury? That's an issue to me. I don't care if he ran a 4.2 or a 4.8, to be honest with you. I want to see, can he play the game? Obviously he can, because we wouldn't have him on our list as scouts if he didn't. But now, does he have that intangible? Does he have that get after it mentality? Is he here for the right reason? You know, I remember my high school football coach, Earl Henderson, telling me the very first day I got there, transferring from elementary school into high school. And I walked in with the entire team. We were all together. And he walked in and he said, guys, if you're here for the varsity jacket, there's the door. And he waited. He waited. He wasn't just saying it as an opening speech. He was saying, if you're here because you want to walk around the campus with your football jacket on, then take yourself and get out now. Just leave now, because we're not going to waste our time with you. But if you're here to work together to win games for this school and for yourself and for your own career moving forward as a football player and for your teammates around you, then we'll work with you and we'll become a great team. And I'll never forget that first thing. That's what I'm looking for in the draft, to answer your question. I'm looking for those guys. The guys, and it's hard until you get them into the environment. But yeah, if I were going to go with gut instinct, I would rate the numbers way lower and rate my gut instinct on a guy's character way higher when it comes to picking players in the draft.
All right. Glenn Suter, he's our first-round draft pick on the Western Pizza Guest Hotline. Perfect pizza with a generous amount of toppings, plus Greek food like souvlaki, ribs, and salads. The goodness you can't make at home. Call Western Pizza today. So what? Everything you just said, and we talked about this with Vansone before the top of the hour, it's one thing to become a member of any other CFL team. What would you need to hear? Rider Nation's different. And we asked, do you think Corey and Jeremy, in their interviews, weeded out a lot of players or found some potential Rider players that can handle coming to this fishbowl? Because you know as well as I do, Glenn, there's a lot of those hamstring guys. A lot of there's going to be some of those hamstring guys that just, if we can weed those guys out in the interview process, because you know, there's nothing like playing here, good and bad. And you got to have the character. It's character. There's football character, but then there's Rider Nation character. Am I off base here?
No, I think you're bang on with regards to, on one side of that scale, how you can handle when adversity strikes and when this very passionate fan base is going to remind you in every grocery store and everywhere you go to get gas and everything else, they're going to remind you that you're not playing well. They're going to remind you that you need to be better. They're going to ask you this question at 9 o'clock at night when you're having dinner with your family. They're going to come across the table and they're going to say, why aren't you practicing? That's what they're going to ask you. And you can either fight that and think, you know, none of your business, I'm the guy on the field, or you can embrace it and be part of it. That's one end of the scale, because what you'll find, and I would tell, if I'm Jeremy O'Day and Corey Mace, I would be telling players this. I would say, what you'll find as you get later on in your career is that you can't have it one way or the other. You have to take both. So if you're going to love when you're winning and that fan base is rabid behind you, well, then you also have to understand and accept when you're not winning and they're upset, because you want them to be passionate at both ends of that scale. That's okay. And it took me a while to figure that out, but it's really important that they understand that. But, you know, finding a smart football player is as important as finding an athletically talented one. You don't want a guy that's out there doing it for his own reason, his own agenda, taking dumb penalties, because the spotlight will find that guy in the crucial moments of a game.
It is Glenn Suter and press coverage for Quality Tire, 9 locations across Saskatchewan, qualitytire.ca. Rob Vanstone, earlier you said you were listening to the interview. He just talked about how like it's changed, technology has changed everything. I don't know if we didn't have a chance to talk before. Did you get a chance to check out the two players that the Riders selected in the global draft? And then also my question to you as a guy that, you know, covers a lot of the league and you know it inside and out, isn't the global draft like just, I find it super, super interesting, and where these guys are, you know, playing, and just they could be, now I don't want to say diamond in the rough, but they're finding some good quality players. And like the guy that the Riders took today from USC, like he's played quality NCAA football, and that played it and also practiced with it. You know, I just love what the global draft is all about.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, there is a good side to it. I know it's taken a lot of heat, and there's been times when I've criticized it on this station and on TSN. But, you know, the reason that I criticize it is if the league has a chance to pick a couple of extra players that can come to camp, I'd rather them be, you know, even if you wanted to go a free agent American and another Canadian. So bring in another Canadian and another free agent American. If you can add two guys to your roster financially, then why are we going in the global draft to, you know, Europe or whatever? The good news and the positive with it, to your point, is that we are looking to, you know, look under every rock and in every part of the world to find great players. And, you know, if you could be a guy that lived in Italy and played in the Italian, you know, pro football league over there, and then you, not their football, but our football, and then you get drafted and you come over and make a name for yourself and are an all-star in Canada, and that means that over in Italy, in your hometown, people are excited about the Canadian Football League and watching it online and things like that. That's really good for the league. And that's what I think the main goal and purpose of all of this has been, is to just broaden the scope and try to bring in audiences and, if possible, at some point, revenues from all over the world, not just in Canada. So there is a lot of good about it. I just think from a football aspect, if we can financially add two or four players to the roster, let's make them Canadians. And they can develop those Canadians so they're better when they get into the starting roles.
Suits, I 100% agree with you. And I think I remember when you would have brought this up watching a game a bunch of years ago, because one of the examples is a roster spot that if it would have went to a global that would have eliminated a Canadian job. What if a Neil Hughes, who signs here undrafted, doesn't get that shot because of this quota per se that needed to be filled? And look at the career that a Neil Hughes went on to have. Forget that he's from Saskatchewan and we're the Saskatchewan Roughriders. That's where I 100% agree with you. If it's time to add a couple more roster spots to the CFL roster and increase that salary cap, you know, there is TV, there's ways to do it. And if they can bring these in, I agree. The best football players should make up your roster. Now, where they come from, but I agree that Canadian talent first, and then the American talent, and then the global, if they're good enough. And if I'm one of those guys that doesn't get my name called, and I am a potential iffy free agent, but because of everything that happened today, how many guys are being left out? I guess we'll never know. So I'm with you on that, and I know that it's fluid, and they're always trying to make it as good as possible. And then the other thing, too, is with the global players, if we do draft them, I want to see them play. Are they good enough to get on the field? Are they? You have to take them, but are they actually? Are you going to use them? I think Winnipeg and Thadrick Hansen is a great example of global draft player that is making a difference in their starting lineup. And you can't say that about all the other global players for a lot of the teams that have come across. Suits, let's get to this tonight. If you're the Riders and you're drafting, and forget NFL, whatever it is there a player that's caught your eye that to be like, all right, at number three, if it's available, we're taking this guy? It doesn't matter if he got drafted by the NFL on the weekend. Who's a name that's popping into your mind that you think the Riders could have?
Well, you know what? I haven't even really gone down the entire list of who they might be looking at in the top ranking guys yet. I usually wait until I see the picks and then I start to dig into exactly who they are. You know, they have, I know our CFL draft guys have linebacker, you know, highly ranked out of Cincinnati. Guys that, you know, and again, I think there has been some bias here that a kid that has gone to an American college is sort of pushed higher in the draft in the eyes of a lot of scouts, even in Canada. And I think that's, again, a mistake in a lot of ways. Just because he played Division I or Division II football down south doesn't make him better than the guy that played at Laval or at U of S or at the U of R. So, you know, I think there is something to be said these days about that American influence now, the NFL influence. The NFL influence of taking more and more players is validation of the quality that Canadians have, first of all. But also, if I'm Jeremy O'Day, because of the, you know, sort of the fight for wins and for a successful program that happens immediately, there's immediacy to this whole process. I'm not wasting two picks or three picks on guys that I might not see. I'm really not. Even if it's the best athlete or you think it's the best player and he's got a trial in the NFL, not picking him. I am picking 7, 8 guys, whatever the total number is here, of all the rounds. I'm picking guys that I'm going to see. I'm going to see in training.
Me too.
Honestly.
We need bodies now. This isn't a 3-year project for Rider Nation. You know how impatient we are. It's April 30th, how impatient we are.
I did some research on the guy that doubles.
Yeah, so Darian Durant said we Riders need to go all defense.
Ben, the defensive back, Ben LeBrose, troubled past, though.
What?
In NCAA.
Oh,
so.
We love guys like that. Yeah. We love a good redemption story here in Rider Nation, Sasky. Don't we? Yeah, it's a good, yeah. That's the heart of being a Sasky guy.
That is Sasky. All right, Glenn, it is press coverage for Quality Tire with Glenn Suter, 9 locations across Saskatchewan. Let's see what the Riders do, and then we'll recap things on Thursday, my man. Sound good?
That sounds good, guys. Have a good one.
Right on. Glenn Suter joining us on the Western Pizza guest hotline. It is time for a break. They're getting fired up here, Rider Nation Studio 620. It is draft day, and it is the all-new sports cage on the home of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, 620 CKRM.
The all-new sports cage is brought to you by Busy Bee Doors. Busy Bee will repair or replace your residential or commercial garage door so you don't get stuck in or out. Catch the buzz. Busy Bee Doors, the garage door specialists. Back to the all-new sports cage. Text 306-936-6262. 620 CKRM.
It is the all-new Sports Cage. We are live here at Mosaic Stadium and Studio 620 as we get ready for the CFL draft. The Riders picking third draft starting in about 30 minutes' time. Also in the province today, if you're in the Melfort area, exciting time. We get ready for Game 6 tonight between the Flin Flon Bombers and the Melfort Mustangs. Joining us on the line, the commissioner of the SJHL, Kyle McIntyre, who just rolled into the city of Northern Lights. How was the drive today, Mac?
Very uneventful, Barney. A little bit of rain, passed a few of our farmer friends getting ready, but other than that, fairly uneventful.
Okay, so we texted the other night. And I mentioned this yesterday on the show. You played a lot of hockey. You've watched a lot of hockey. You made the claim to me via text message that Game 5 could have been the fastest hockey game you've ever watched live.
It was absolutely incredible. Both teams came out absolutely flying. Of course, Flin Flon was a little more desperate than Melfort because, I mean, they were facing elimination. But there was not a single whistle in that first period, and Barney, it was fast. Probably the fastest junior game I've seen all winter.
So tonight, again, the buses are getting miles, right? We weren't sure how this was going to go. Melfort was staring down a four-game sweep. Flin Flon's rattled off two to get back into the series. Tonight in the Northern Lights Palace. First off, let's get to tickets, because I was trying to get an update. So anyone in the area is thinking about going. Have you got any update on tickets for tonight?
Well, I think what's going on is I think they have sold out of the seating tickets, and I think standing room tickets will go on sale at 6:30, and they'll be first come, first serve. So last game, there was probably 2,300 people in there, Barney, and they probably haven't seen as many people in there since about 2015 when they won back-to-back RBC Cups. So the place is going to be absolutely rocking. It's going to be an electric atmosphere.
Are you allowed to make predictions as a commissioner?
I will predict it will be an outstanding game.
it's been an awesome series, and really for the league, like, let's be honest, Flin Flon, top ranked team, you know, Melfort had such a great playoff series with Humboldt, and then now this final series, like I said, which looked like it might be a sweep, we're going into game six here. Like, for the league, this is awesome as well.
Oh, it's outstanding. Someone forgot to tell Melfort that they were the underdog. Melfort has really come out and continued with the momentum from Humboldt, that series in game seven, and they have played unbelievable playoff hockey. They block shots, they finish checks, they plug up the house, they're forechecking hard, they're finishing plays, they're capitalizing on turnovers, they're tenacious on the forecheck, and so no one, including me, thought they were going to be up 3-0. I thought the series might go 6 or 7 games, but now I don't know who is more desperate tonight, whether it's going to be Melfort or Flin Flon, so I think you're going to see two desperate teams battle it out until the buzzer.
Also, when it comes to the league and what's going on here, and you guys do a great job promoting, like, this is a scout's dream as well, right? Like, there'd be a lot of eyeballs on this series tonight, whether it's NCAA, there'd probably be some major juniors, some CIS. For scouts to watch a game, like you said the other night, so fast, one of the fastest junior games you've ever watched, this is a scout's dream.
Oh, and absolutely. And you know, there are still some players that are unencumbered. Brian Duguay from Melfort, he's one of the leading scorers in playoffs. He has played outstanding. Chase Freed-Moore from Melfort, he just committed to the U of R. I think he's going to take policing. He's been outstanding. James Venn, the goaltender for Melfort, has been absolutely lights out. He has really been outplaying his counterpart, Harmon Laser Hume from Flin Flon. And probably if you don't have James Venn, you're probably not in the series if you're Melfort. So Ben is still not committed to anybody, but he's probably by far the best goalie in the SJHL. So the further that Melfort goes, the greater the chance is that he's going to get a full ride. And so Melfort, of course, is hoping to punch their ticket to the Centennial Cup May 9th in Oakville. And the further they go, the greater chance that James is going to get something, and Aiden Hutchison is going to get something, and Ryan Duguay is going to get something. So those kids have all played super well, and they've been a big part of the offense for the Mustangs for sure. And then on the other side, you know, with Flin Flon, I mean, Harmon Laser-Hume, he started off slowly this series in the nets, but he really has come on lately. And last game, he was making some stand-on-your-head saves to stave off the Melfort attack. So I think we always think that we're a good developmental pathway for players. We think we develop players for the Western League, for NCAA, for U Sport, for ACAC and ACHA. So lots of opportunities go through Junior A, Barney, and sometimes it's a matter of a player's stature or their skill or their academic or career aspirations that has them in Junior A. But the fans and the scouts will be in for a good one here tonight. And if there's a game 7, that's going to be really electric, probably even louder than it was last Saturday in the Whitby Forum.
Yeah, because game 7 is Friday night, if there's a game 7, Friday night in Flin Flon. So did you pack overnight bag to get you to Friday?
Oh, I didn't, but I should have. Last week, I was probably on the road all week. I've put on more miles than probably I've put on in the last two winters, but it's been incredible for the fans. And both teams have a strong contingent of fans that travel to watch the game. So in Flin Flon on Saturday, I bet you there's probably 150 Melfort fans. And then probably on Thursday in Melfort, there's probably about 300 Flin Flon fans. And probably the Bomber fans are probably the fans in our league that that travel the most and you notice the most, because they're all decked out in their bomber colors and they got their air horns and a moose leg, perhaps, Barney. And so
long three quarter long jackets.
Yeah. So
underneath.
Kyle, it's Maz. So here's the thing, and you don't have to answer this question. You can plead the Fifth or Canadian, but let's say that the Fifth Amendment is alive and well in Canada. So when we started talking about the moose leg last week, a lot of people were interested. There was a lot of fun-loving people that wanted to know about the moose leg. And then there was the crazies who decided to get in touch with me, wondering about like animal rights and stuff. And I was like, so the moose leg, because it was done in season, is there only one? Are there multiples? Where do they come from? How do you store it? Do you? And once again, you do not have to answer this question. You don't have to incriminate yourself. You can just say it just shows up. It just randomly shows up at the middle of the ice.
I've met the fellow that is the keeper of the moose leg. And last year, my first trip to Flin Flon, he sought me out and he said, are you going to allow me to throw the moose leg as a fan in Flin Flon? And I mean, really, I wasn't prepared for the question. And I thought, well, why not? You know, and obviously there's not a moose walking around with a prosthetic mask. Probably it was a moose that was harvested for its meat and then probably kept the leg. And that's what
you imagine. Could you imagine showing up at the vet to be like, I need a little help. Do you have an extra, do you have a prosthetic moose leg?
That's an ESPN 30-30 waiting to happen.
Did Kyle, after this meeting, did Kyle the next day have to go to an ice fishing shack with this guy for about 7 hours and drink whiskey while they dropped a line in the water to talk more about the moose leg?
I did not. I probably could have, but I didn't. You know, in the Whitney form, like it's really like a cathedral. It's like a museum. It's like a madhouse. They have a big display case in the lobby, and they have a lot of bomber memorabilia. So they have like jackets, and they have plaques, and they have photos of some of the noteworthy bomber alumni, and they have a moose leg. So the one that you saw thrown on the ice on Saturday night is probably not the original one, but it is a tradition that goes back years and years. Like even when I played in SHL like 35, 36 years ago, the moose leg came out on an occasion when the Bombers were able to beat the Yorkton Terriers or the Swift Current Indians. So it's a tradition. It's alive and well. It's like the octopus in Detroit or the fish in Seattle. So it's something that is unique to Flin Flon. It's a tradition, and the people in Flin Flon certainly don't get excited about it. Maybe the PETA people will get excited about it, Matt. But the Bomber fans, that's one of those great traditions, and the Whitney Forum is steeped in tradition.
Yeah. Oh, I love prosthetic. A moose walking around with a prosthetic. That is
that's a sports cage t-shirt.
That's a sports cage t-shirt waiting to happen for the SJ next year.
Matt. The three-legged moose. That's got to be a year-end trophy. Yeah. There has to be something that wins you the three-legged moose. Year-end trophy in the SJ.
Okay, Mac, have fun tonight. I know you're sitting on the fence in this. And you're ready for another exciting hockey game, and I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes and if we are going to a game 7. So travel safe, my man.
Okay, thanks for the call and good luck with the draft.
Yeah, big. That's right. That is the commissioner of the SJHL, Kyle MacIntyre, joining us on the Western Pizza guest hotline as they get ready for Game 6 in Melfort this evening at Word. Just after 6 o'clock, they're going to release some standing room only tickets. The noise in the background is the Rider season ticket holder party. It's getting rowdy in here as we get ready for the CFL draft. The Riders are picking 3rd. Great turnout, Maz, right? Like, and I think Corey Mason, Jeremy O'Day were just on stage talking with our Dave Thomas. You can feel the excitement.
People are screaming, go Riders. The pep band's been going for about 45 minutes. You would think if we said everybody out to the field, we're doing 2 laps and 20 push-ups, you'd be like, sure, everybody here has a jersey on. And somebody has a track, like a onesie, like overall tracksuit on, and I'm like, that's a look we got to get into the Rider store.
And the other beauty thing, the demographic. Like, we got 80-year-olds here, and we have 10-year-olds.
Yep.
Like, it's real, and this is exciting. And again, Corey Mason, Jeremy O'Day just left, going into the war room as they get ready for the draft. We're going to keep you updated. We're off the air here at 6 o'clock, but we're going to keep you updated on socials as we go. It is the all-new Sports Cage live from Studio 620 at Mosaic Stadium on the home of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, 620 CKRM.
Best bro, don't miss a minute of the all-new Sports Cage. Podcasts are posted at sportscage.com. 620 CKRM.
And welcome back, Saskatchewan. Varney Shinkirk, Maz McFly here, live from Studio 620 as we get ready for the CFL Draft and our Saskatchewan Rough Riders picking third. If you missed any of the program today, go back, listen to it in podcast form. Alan's going to be chopping some up. We're going to have some of the interviews separately as well. You can find it on all our socials or on sportscage.com. Hey, hockey fans, NHL, I totally forgot about this because we're like pushing 6 o'clock here. Maple Leafs and Bruins are tied, 27 seconds left in the first period of play. The Hurricanes are up 2-1 on the Islanders in period one as well.
So if you're a poolie, Jake McCabe scores his first from Max Domi and Mitch Marner. Mitchie.
Did Austin Matthews dress?
I don't think so. I don't see that. So, and Trent Frederick scored his third assist from Pat Maroon. Could you imagine that Boston goes on to win? And then Maroon has four cups. Unlikely on the bingo card, a four Stanley Cup ring guy. And did you see, well, speaking of rings, I know you don't want to talk wrestling on the Sports Cage, but wrestling is real.
Yeah, I saw what happened.
And wrestling is better than ever before. So last night in the crowd in Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes gave, it's one of those Paul brothers, one of the Logan or Jake, I can't ever remember the one, gave him this three. I don't think they were Logan Paul. I don't think they were his real Super Bowl rings to go in and do some damage like knuckle dusters, old Stampede wrestling style.
And then the guy moved and he hit the other guy and everyone went nuts. It was like, don't tell me that wrestling is better than it's ever been. If you don't got terrible Terry Funk, the British Bulldogs, the Killer Bees.
Different areas.
Cowboy Bob Orton.
Now, there's different eras of wrestling. Which,
Paul Orndorff.
Exactly. So there was that 80s, early 90s, but then there was the late 90s, the Raw, the Attitude Era stuff, Rock, Stone Cold, and all that. And now, it was, I got out of it for probably 10 years, but then when COVID was on, it was the only thing to watch on TV, and I got back into it.
No, you could have bet on horse racing. I bought the Horse Racing Network.
So CM Punk is back, and the biggest free agent signing that'll really put WWE over the top is MJF. If you're on the Capital Ford Lincoln text line and you agree with me, you can always text us at 306-936-6262. Carolina and the Islanders, just checking here. Tara Vinen and Svechnikov for Carolina and Riley for the Islanders.
We're just going to the Capital Ford Lincoln text line now that you mentioned it, and I bet you there's going to be more people. We can have this conversation another day that prefer my era of wrestling. The Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Oh, Brutus, sure.
Beefcake. Yeah. Okay. No, but let's save it for another day because we got to get to the Capital Ford Lincoln text line. We had some good ones here. I think it's Curtis from Unity. Go Miners. Out there in Unity, you need a clutch goalie that doesn't fold. I think when we were talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs, Georgie says, again, we're taking shots at the Leafs. A lot of us were. How many Stanley Cups does Brad Treliving been involved? Probably good, been involved in.
We didn't tell the Eric Church story.
Yeah, and then Pat up in Saskatoon. Hey guys, Pat here. Eric Church left fans at Stagecoach like this.
Okay, so we teased this earlier. We haven't had a chance to do this. So Stagecoach happened in Indio, California over the weekend. So that's like Country Thunder, but outside Palm Springs.
Yes.
They do Coachella, which is alternative, at the start of April for 2 weeks, and then they do Stagecoach. So Eric Church was the Saturday night headliner. And Eric, because he's at that point in his career, he can pretty much do whatever he wants. Now, if you've seen Eric before, and I'm part of the church choir, I'm part of his fan club, I've seen him a bunch of times, and I really like Eric Church.
I saw the best Eric Church I ever saw was when he was a 5 cent common, and he played at like 3 p.m. at Craven.
Same thing.
Unreal.
First time I saw him, he opened for Dierks Bentley at the Corral in Calgary. There's probably 400 people there because the Jets and Oilers were playing. And this is, he was brand new. So he's a headliner at this Stagecoach in California over the weekend.
Yeah.
So he comes out, And it's just him and an acoustic guitar on a stool and a choir behind him. And he's done this before. He'll bring the choir on stage to sing like mistress named music.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, and that's why, and thank you for the text showing people leaving. He did the whole show with the choir. He only brought his real band out for two songs. They never got rocking. It was over 90 minutes. People were leaving the festival grounds disappointed because it was all just kind of this acoustic-y gospel show with all of his songs. He was doing covers of others.
What did you think of it as a big church? I'm a church guy.
Okay, a few songs, because even the last time I saw him on the last tour, there was so much. And I love, there was new material, but they were doing it acoustic, and they kind of like to turn the guitars off. Reviews were bad to mixed. Now, keep in mind, he's at that point in his career. He can do whatever he wants. So they can't tell him that he can't do it. But if you see some videos online, you see these people streaming away from the stage.
I got to watch it.
Because I saw one of the songs. I'm like, oh, this is great. It's Eric Church. Oh, he's got the choir up there. But 90 minutes of it. Of just him on the stool.
And you're not prepared.
No, you're not at all.
Like, it's like, okay, what's going on here? Okay, that's great. So I'm going to watch some of that streams. Here we go. This is why one of the slow days of the summer or something, we got to pick up this conversation. Because we already got Eli. What about Archie, the Golden Stomper, Les Thornton,
okay,
Ric Flair,
okay.
Andre the Giant, Abdullah the Butcher.
I remember Dad taking me and my brother to see Stampede Wrestling at the Saskatoon Arena.
And
we saw Andre the Giant. Like, that was in Stampede. Now, keep in mind, that's a whole different era. But then as things evolved, and I'm nothing against those guys, but when Raw and Nitro were up against each other, like, there was some great stuff going on there, but then it evolved, and then it got bad, as it always does, and it's reinvented itself, and now that Vince is out and Triple H is running creative, and CM Punk, oh, man, I told you, I didn't want to, but I got back in. I'm invested. I'm invested.
When you texted me the other night, I thought you were joking.
No, I'm not
and
joking.
And I'm like, no, he is actually in on this. So we'll have a whole wrestling thing. We'll maybe break it up into a two-part at some time this summer. We had Kyle McIntyre on. If you are going to the game in Melfort tonight, game 6, word is they are releasing some standing room only tickets for the game between Flin Flon and Melfort this evening. If you're going like myself and my daughter to Moose Jaw tonight, it's sold out, obviously. And we had John Keane on earlier in the show, and you guys are all predicting another close game, and I'm going out on a limb by myself. I'm predicting Blades by 2 or 3 tonight.
Well, here's the thing, it's sold out.
I forgot about Armstrong back, too.
Yeah, it's funny, the game being sold out, but Moose Jaw's the kind of place, if you know a guy or you know a gal, you can probably get yourself in.
I don't know a guy. Man.
Hey, we've all done the side door trick, and I'm not saying that we do that, but if you know a guy or you know a gal, it should be good. I just get nervous around the Blades. Like, if they can't, they haven't been able to jump out to a 2 or 3 goal lead,
haven't.
And there's been no comfort level, all the advantage goes to Moose Jaw on home ice, and if Moose Jaw gets up early, I just don't think the Blades have it to come back. Because the crowd will get on them, and it'll be, although there's 9,000 at Sass Place, those 4,000 at Moose Jaw, 10, those 4,000 at Moose Jaw will make a bigger difference, I think, because it'll just be crazier, because they've been waiting for it. The two games primer in Saskatoon.
I feel like I'm living in Moose Jaw. I've commuted to Moose Jaw so many times in the last 2 weeks. We have Broncos, Warriors, Electric Atmosphere, Ice Cube on Sunday night.
Oh, man.
And then I'm back there today, possibly tomorrow. More, I love it. Boots on the ground, sports cage style.
Moratorium. If you can talk about Ice Cube, we're talking about wrestling. And I'll get it sponsored, too. Wrestling.
Oh, there's a lot of Ice Cube fans listening.
There's more wrestling fans listening than Ice Cube fans.
Oh, that sounds like a debate. All right. It's time to wrap it. It's been fun. Sports Cage on Tuesdays is always for Sask Lotteries. Thanks to all our guests that came on today.
Dave Thomas for jumping in, the new voice of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, John Keane from Kamloops, British Columbia, talking about the WHL, Arash Madani, Rob Vanstone, absolute legend, Kyle McIntyre from the SJHL, and Glenn Suter. It's all available on podcast form. You can go back and listen to it. We're back tomorrow. Let's see what happens at the draft. Let's see what happens in these NHL games. It is the Sports Cage for Maz. I'm Barney Shinkirk, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, Saskatchewan.